This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus, by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And right now they're giving away a free bottle of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter with all new orders. If you go to Onnit.com and use code word church, you're going to get 10% off of any of their great products. Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. Use code word church to get 10% off. And the show is sponsored by HitEcigs.com. That's Hit, the letter E, Cigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars. Different flavor e-cigarettes and different variations of nicotine. Use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off your order.
Kick that motherfucker, Lee Syatt. Are you kidding me or what? Monday night, special edition. The church of what's happened now, you bad motherfuckers. Monday, October 27th. Oh, shit. Kick it, Lee. Kick that motherfucker. Kick out the jams, bitches. It's Monday. What? One time with the motherfucking church. On a Monday. Fuck the Cowboys. Reefer Madness. Put it in your mouth. Like that motherfucker. Oh, shit. Where the fuck you been, cocksucker?
What's with the questions? I've been here.
You got the yarmulke on. You got the Flying Jew shirt on.
I gotta have the yarmulke
on. The girl is moving up to Van Nuys. You fucked up. You had her 15 miles away.
No, it's good.
Now you got her up there. Now the mother's going to cook for you 4 nights a week.
Oh, yeah.
You're over there watching Telemundo, asking her what your horoscope is.
No, fun? I was terrified last night. Thank God. Because we went and saw Fury.
How was it?
Great. It was a lot of fun. It was really violent. It's super violent, but it was good. Brad Pitt's always good.
They shoot people.
No, but they shoot people and their heads explode. It's fucking tremendous. It's good.
Tremendous.
But I was dropping her off, and I had to get gas. And I pulled in. I knew immediately I wasn't supposed to be there. Like, there was hookers and drug deals going on. And I asked her if it was okay, and she said yes. And then when I got back in the car, she was laughing. She's like, this is the worst part of Inglewood. Like, even the Taco Bell drive through has bars on the window.
How'd the hooker look?
Not good.
All right.
It was Sunday night.
You wouldn't get that phone on. You would let her lick your fucking nuts or not?
It was one of those. I like black girls, but it was one of the black girls with blonde hair. And I'm like,
Little Kim looking motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's not my style.
Miami was fucking tremendous. My last 3 weeks were great little weeks, and I'm very happy that I'm fortunate I could go out and do comedy in these cities. But Miami was fucking great this time. I saw somebody I hadn't seen in fucking 30 years, you know? And they had my shit. They saved my shit.
What shit?
My godmother said, he's going to come and get this stuff. Even if I'm dead, he's still going to come and get this stuff.
Your Santa Rita stuff?
Everything. I had t-shirt. It was just amazing.
Oh, any pictures?
No, but pictures. A couple pictures.
Oh, really?
A couple pictures. Just, I saw Carlos Perez, a dear friend of mine.
Wait, was it Zoraida?
No. It was Mercedita, this chick. But I saw a friend of mine named Carlos Perez, who on Sundays we used to buy a $10 bag of Crystal THC, me, him, and Sabatino, $10 for a $10 bag of Angel Dust. And we'd buy 6 Michelobes, and we'd sit at my mother's house, snort it, listen to Led Zeppelin too, like fucking soldiers in training. And then I saw Martin Perez, and Martin Perez's father was a driver for Batista.
Okay.
And I grew up with Martin Perez, and here's the, when I see these people, you think of the most obvious thing that happened between you and them, like as a child. One time he lit a tree on fire that everybody had lit on fire, and he's the only one that got busted. But the weirdest thing that happened with Martin Perez was one night the New York Mets played against the North Bergen High School faculty. This is 1976, maybe 75. I didn't have hair on my dick. I was a young kid. We walked out of the basketball thing, and there was a fist fight. And we got pushed around a little bit, and we ran. And when we got to the corner, there was a chick that was letting, she was like 16, and she was letting like 3 guys feel her titties.
At once?
Like for 10 cents or a quarter. I don't know what the deal was.
Jesus.
We walked up on them, like 6 gorillas, and we all started feeling her tit. And it was just horrible. Like, everybody was grabbing her tits and shit and grabbing her ass and her tits. And I remember I squeezed her tits, and my dick got so fucking hard. Like, I had never squeezed a woman's tits before.
Yeah.
And I grabbed her tits, and I walked home like 40 blocks with this little fucking hard on. My head was on fire. That's some fucked up.
What do you think happens
shit.
To that? Because there's always that one girl who does that in, like, high school and middle school. What do you think happened to that girl?
I don't know. I don't know what her name is. You know, if somebody let me squeeze their tits, at least I remember their name. I don't remember what her name was. I never saw that girl again. I never heard nothing about it. It was the weirdest thing. But we were both talking about it, how we walked home. Like, wow, did you feel her tits? Like, it was fucking big for us, like, to grab her tits.
Hell yeah.
Felipe Sparza in the motherfucking house.
What's up, fool? How big were titties, man?
At that time, I don't even remember. I can't even tell you. I don't know what the girl wow. looked like. All I know is I was 12, maybe 11, tops. Tops. Like, tits were a big deal. That's when I was going through my tit fetish. Crazy. I was smelling women's bras.
You would smell the bras?
Like, if I went to your house, I'd ask myself to go to the bathroom, and I would hope to God that your mom left one of her bras hanging.
A mom bra?
Yeah, oh fuck yeah. I would
just smell the back of it, bro.
The back of it like a soldier.
Or under the cups.
Yeah, right there.
It gets
right
a little there. Sweaty right there, and...
I didn't know what titties smelled like. To this day, titties don't smell like nothing. You know, it's just...
Baby powder.
It's just whatever's in your fucking head. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
But that was it. You know one thing about Miami that I noticed for the first time in all my life that I've been going to Miami, that it's kind of an injustice if you're Spanish and you don't live in Miami. Because you don't get the full benefits of being Spanish. You see everything down there. Just Cubans being down there is the things of the past.
Different than L.A.? Because L.A. is a lot of...
Yeah, no. That they have the whole... They have Venezuelans. They have all that... A lot of Colombians. A lot of Brazilians. They have this whole gap, you know? And it's like every three blocks you see this little... Cafeta coffee shop or la Guadalire coffee shop. And
yeah,
you pull in,
Cafeta the Bomb.
Yeah, and you get like $1.50 for... A half a cup of coffee that you share with three people, and you all get fucked up.
It's just
like
super strong.
So yeah,
that's good.
And everybody sits around and they talk shit. And I went the first morning and got like a Cuban sandwich and a couple croquetas, and my fucking head. I went to the doctor today. I gained 6 pounds in Miami in 3 days. It's fucking amazing. Like I just and I didn't eat like ice cream or flan, nothing. They got flan at the Miami Club now at the Homestead.
Yeah, field.
They got delicious food, man. And both nights I had a salad with a piece of dolphin.
I was going to say, did you try dolphin?
Mahi-mahi. I always ate it. I've always eaten dolphin.
Wait, mahi-mahi's dolphin?
Yeah, it's Hawaiian, like whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I saw the menu, and I thought it like his actual dolphin.
Home field, dolphin fingers and all that?
Yeah.
The blue cheese dressing on the salad was fucking delicious. The tomatoes were fucking delicious. Do you understand me?
You said you had some awesome Jews at the show.
I had a couple Jews at the show. I had a great black couple that came up to me. They were beautiful people. And he asked me where to get big gis for jiu-jitsu. And I told him Amazon.com. I forget the company, but they have Up to AA, if he's listening. They were very sweet, very nice. It was just a nice, easy fucking weekend, Felipe. I can't work hard no more.
What club were you at?
Miami Improv doesn't have a club. They use... The Crystal Palace.
Okay.
The whatever that is, the Crystal Casino, I guess. And then they have, and that's for big acts. And then they have the Pool Hall. That's where they put Rob Schneider, the guy from Johnny, whatever. Johnny Boy, Johnny. What? He jumps off buildings, you know.
Oh, jackass. Steve-O.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Johnny Boy.
Whatever his fucking name.
I went through with Rodrigo the first time. And
to
it was
Miami Improv.
Miami Improv, and... Hooked up with like one Cuban guy, right? He's like a big fan. He smoked us out on the roof, on the next door of the parking lot. And I remember we got there, and I didn't know he was Cuban. You know, I thought he was some other guy. He goes, "Bienvenidos a mi techo," and he took out a big ass bowl. Then he gave me his card, right? And I still have the card. And that card it says, "He does roofing, he does fencing," but the thing he wrote on the back. But what I really do is, and he wrote it like this, P-A-R-T-A-A, partay. Partay.
They love to party.
He wanted a party. He went to with old lady the first night, fall in love, then came back the last night with us and hung out with me and Rodrigo. We went back 2 years later. He was waiting for us like a soldier.
You know, what I explained to them, and I told the chick, I told the girl Melissa, who's very sweet, I go, this is a great club. You know, it's just a little too big. I had 325 seats. But like, I just want you to know something. I just want you to know that 15 years ago, the Miami Improv was one of the top 10 clubs in the country. 98, 99, that club was kicking. I was a badass fucking club. And then they started doing business, dumb shit. But that was a great, solid club. Never mind that you were in fucking Miami. So, I go to Miami. I go 1 week with somebody. I go for 2 weeks. Rogan's coming with Chris McGuire, and I wait and I MC for them. And then I go home. And they bring me back like 6 months later. And I get there on a Tuesday night, and there's a girl sitting there with a guy. And we go out to the front. Everybody says hello. They come over to me. I don't know who the headliner was. I didn't headline in those days. I was always the feature act. I went outside, and they started talking to me. Okay. The next day, because those days, comedy started on Tuesday night. There was no Thursday
Tuesday
night.
To Sunday?
Tuesday to Sunday, Jack.
Oh, my God.
By Friday, you were fucking hitting yourself in the head with your fucking jokes. And then, because, yeah, I went there one time. And then I went again with Joey Medina and Jeff Garcia, the devil. And I couldn't figure out who was going to headline. That was a fucking crazy weekend. But I went there, and the second night the girl came back, and this time she came with a different guy. She said it was her brother or whatever. Then the third night she came with a broad, a girl. And I didn't see her again. I didn't think nothing of it, guys.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Thursday, right. Okay. Now, I don't know who the headliner was. So Tuesday the next week opens up, bam, she's there. With a girl. We talk a little while. We get, yeah, how are your name? Man, great. I'm just a comedy fan. And I really don't have a life at night. And these are my girlfriends. And I want to show them that you're funny. Oh, that's great. So next night, I think she comes back with a guy. Then the next night, she comes back with a chubby chick. Like a cute chubby chick.
Oh, shit.
Right? And they're talking to me. And they're talking to me. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, we start talking about blow. And one thing leads to another. And they go, come on. Come with us. Party in the beach. I have a condo on the beach. I got champagne. I got more blow there. If not, we'll call. And I'm like, okay. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. The one girl was a fucking 12. The other girl was a chubby, cute girl. She was a 6. Whatever happens, happens. But when I got in that car, I'm going to look at both these in the face. I didn't think anything about fucking them or nothing like that. It started off as a, you know what? I got nothing to do tomorrow anyway on Thursday. What's all this? I got one show, you know? Yeah. Even if I get fucked up and hungover, I'll come back, you know, no big, you know, I got to go out of my comfort zone. So I said, fuck, I'm going to go to the beach with them. We got downstairs, the girl had the new fucking Audi, the other girl had a Mercedes. I got in the girl, the blonde girl with the Audi, goes, come with me, because she's drunk, whatever. We start driving, no, 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 in fact, we're going to go pick up more blow. I tell her I only got like $100. She's like, I don't need your money. She knows the guy. She goes over there, gets the fucking 8-ball. We go back to a fucking place. We pull it. It's a high rise, but she had her own garage type deal. Her garage opens up, and she's got this Audi and some fucking Porsche, like a nice Porsche. Right? And I go, why do you have these cars? What do you do? Are you a drug dealer? She goes, no, my father owns an Audi dealership or some shit. Or he imports Audis or some story. We go upstairs to her apartment. The apartment guys is banging. Big old fucking patio. She had a rack with Dom Perignon in it and wine and shit. I'm watching, at that time, Conan O'Brien. It was 1 in the morning or maybe 12 at night in the East Coast. And I'm sitting there fucking coked out to the gills. And they're putting coke out. And they're like, do you mind if we switch into different clothing? And I'm not the guys. I'm not thinking about. The chubby girl said she had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
The other girl didn't say nothing, so I didn't say nothing.
Not even at all? Not even like, maybe I'll get a blowjob?
Nothing. Nothing. In those days, I was so coked out, even if I could have got a blowjob. My dick was fucking smaller than an inch. I was sitting there enjoying, and all of a sudden, it's got to be 4 in the morning. I'm watching cable, whatever the fuck's on. They're pouring champagne. I'm drinking beers, champagne. I'm just tossing them back. I'm snorting blow. And the next thing you know, these girls start taking off their clothes and start swapping spit 10 feet by me. They're going at it. They're swapping spit.
What are they wearing?
They took their shirts off.
All right.
And they're grabbing their tits and blah, 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 blah. And it's fucking tremendous. I'm looking and making believe I'm looking at the thing. Then the one girl takes the chubby girl's panties off, and she's eating her pussy, and you can hear hear this shit. I'm sitting there doing lines of coke because they left a mountain of coke. I'm actually with a dish doing coke while they're going at it. And at this time, I don't know what to think. I'm like, I might get laid, I might not get laid, but I got to make it to the bathroom and jerk off and get my dick hard. So when I come out here, I come out with a fucking, you know, with a gun with bullets in it. I can't show up with this little dick in front of two chicks. And sure enough, they take their panties off. Now, the other chick, the hot blonde, has got a period. You can see a little string that she cut in half or something like that. And I'm like, oh, God. But she's licking around it. She's licking her asshole and shit. They get up without saying nothing to me, and they go in the bedroom. I'm like, oof, I got out of that one. Now I'm starting to put bindles together. I'm starting to put coke in different bindles because I got to go. I'm taking some coke with me.
Wait, two girls are going at it, and you're just like, I got to get the coke.
Because they're not even drunk. Bro, when you're a junkie all the way. When tell this fool. When you're a jet all the way.
And they're playing some good-ass shit, too.
So now the hot girl comes out and says, come on in here.
Oh, shit.
I come in here, take off your clothes. The chubby girl wants to fuck you.
Oh, shit. Right?
And they start fucking jerking me off and the whole thing and nothing. Nothing. My dick will not get hard. It is
motherfucker, set me down.
The chubby girl sucked it. The blonde girl sucked it. It's, and I'm sorry this is going this way tonight, but it's a Monday night, bitches. And I wasn't even going to talk about this. I was just remembered talking to Felipe because I know Felipe's been to Miami. He knows they're crazy. So now I go back in the living room and they're laying around drinking champagne. They got a huge dildo. Like a two-way dildo, so one gets on it, and the other one, they both fuck the dildo.
Damn.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, this is crazy, right? So they're tired. The sun's coming out. I'm still doing blow. There's still more blow left. The chubby girl tries to sleep in the living room, and the blonde goes into the bedroom. Something happens. The chubby girl leaves, and the blonde girl comes out and gets me and says, come on, put a condom on. And this time I get a hard on. So now I'm fucking around with the blonde girl. The chubby girl forgot her shoe or a fucking sandwich or whatever the fuck she forgot. And she sees me fucking the blonde and she goes off on me. And
damn.
The girlfriend at like 8 in the morning, fuck yous both. You both had this plan. That's why you drove without me. You never wanted to fuck me. You tricked me. You wanted. And I'm like, look at this shit. I don't care who I'd fuck. Both of yous are cute in my fucking world, you know. So I hook up with this girl this Thursday night. Then she comes to the improv Friday and picks me up. She comes Saturday, Sunday, every night. I go back to that condo, and we do blow, and we mess around, and we talk about life, and she tells me she used to date David Lee Roth, and blah, 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 blah. And at the end of that Sunday, she takes me out to dinner after the improv and goes, listen, after tonight, lose my number. I'm getting married in 2 weeks.
What?
She goes, just lose my number. I'm marrying some weather guy or something. Lose my number. It was great while it lasted. I really dig you. Good luck in your career. That's it. I walked out of there. I never thought about that broad again. Never called. Never did nothing. Nothing ever came of it. When Twitter got big, she never hit me up. When Facebook got big, she never hit me up. Friday night, I walk off stage, guys, second show, and I'm walking towards the green room, and some lady goes to turn around, and she grabs my arm, and she goes, how are you? And she gives me a hug, and I'm like, good, good. And the guy next to her puts it, he goes, that was great. And the other guy, that was great. And she goes, yes. She goes, I met Joey about 15 years ago. We were friends at the improv. I would go to the improv and we'd have drinks together. And she looked at me and she winked at me with one fucking eye.
Like a soldier.
She didn't look like her at all.
No, she looked
like, it didn't look like that girl at all.
She looked like a mom
now. She got older. Yeah, she was a mom now. Her hair was different. She didn't have glasses.
That's what's up.
That's it was crazy. Up. It was fucking crazy.
Did any part of you think like you're gonna have to tell her like, listen?
Oh, great to see you. And I walked into the green room, and then I sat in there for a little while and I processed the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I said okay, and I went back out there, and she was gone. Just like that.
That's crazy.
That is the craziest fucking thing that happened this weekend. There you have it, Felipe.
That's crazy, man. Me, I was at the Ice House.
That's right, you were the Ice
House. I was the Ice House this week, and it was fun. We added an extra show on Saturday at 6 p.m. So we did a 6 p.m.
A clean one? 18?
No. It was sold out, so we added an extra third show.
Look at Felipe.
Six shows, man.
Six or five?
Six.
Look at Felipe.
So it was sold out.
You did Thursday night, too?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Look at Felipe taking him deep into the fucking murky waters of the underworld and shit.
But on the Thursday show, man, like, I remember... when I was at Wild Coyotes, you know, I would always want to do any show that pays 50 bucks or more, I'm there. You know, and Yorcia hit me up. You know, it's a show over here in Hollywood, you know, in Burbank. Burbank Hills, Hollywood Hills. It'll pay like 75 bucks, but it's at 2:30
in the morning.
So I said, all right, so fuck it. It was Stephen Fly, Rodrigo Torres, Chepo, Juan Garcia, myself.
Where?
We drove to that gig.
This weekend?
No, this was like many years ago. It was like in 2000.
Oh, I remember that gig.
Yeah. 2006.
2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, did you
like
go?
A black club.
No, it was no not that one. That was
a different one.
Hollywood. That was a good luck club.
Okay, that was one in the middle of the night, right?
That
right.
one, I went to another one, and it's like, bro, when I get there, there's like an undercover cop checking you, make sure you have no guns, and you go inside here, man, and they're partying, bro. I mean, they got arcades in
at
there.
At 2:30 in the morning?
Yes, bro. They had an arcade there outside. They had a bathroom stall. You know, normally when you party at a house, people pee outside. This guy installed bathroom stalls. So you could just pee on the side of the wall, like you flush it. So wow. this party, and then the inside of the house was set up to look like 5 p.m. every day. He had nice lights. Well, anyway, I partied at this guy's house after the show. I didn't leave his house till noon the next day. I just stood there with him, you know, and he was talking to me, old Spanish guy. And I forgot about him, you know, because I don't want to go back over there because I don't want to party. I felt like Pinocchio. Remember Pinocchio go to that party and then everybody's growing fucking turning into donkeys? So I never thought about this guy. I saw him at the show, at the end of the show. He saw me and he opened up his jacket and he had a little vial that's nasal spray.
This week?
Yeah. He has nasal spray in it. It's like a nasal spray jar.
But cocaine.
But that's cocaine. Yeah, it's cocaine and water. That. He goes, hey, you remember me? And I said, oh, wow, it's you, bro. I've been talking about you forever. And I told everybody, this is the guy. This guy had photos, bro, of me pretending to be a bartender all fucked up in his house. Fuck it.
No spray and water? Is that like
nasal spray coke.
Fuck.
It's already mixed with the water. What the fuck? They probably. I don't know how they do it. I've had people had that before.
It was like that nasal spray was for your nose, but it had like half all coke and some water in it.
Fuck.
I only get one of those a month, like one every 3 months, a good one. Like somebody from the past will hit you up on Facebook, and you're like, "This is fucking tremendous," you know. And then you call them, and then you're like, "This was a fucking mistake." Sometimes you call them back and they're crazy now. They tell you about Martians or something.
Yeah.
I called a buddy of mine.
It's crazy when I talk about that shit.
I called a buddy of mine that I ran with every night for 10 years about 3 years ago. He was living in Long Beach, dog. I had to hang up the fucking phone, like make believe. Like, we got no reception here. Because it was fucking craziness about Martians and they invaded Long Beach dressed as Russians and shit. Martians dressed as Russians. That's what he was telling me. And he goes, a lot of people don't know, but I see it. Coco, I went to school for this. And I'm like, where'd you go to school? And he's telling me how he went to Jersey City State for his bachelor's and some
for
other
alien hunting?
For something. And he goes, and it was just crazy. So sometimes you got to watch. But it's great when you go, like that girl, I didn't think nothing. I didn't, when I closed the door to the green room was when I realized who she was. And I was like, oh my God, that was a long fucking time ago. That was a long time ago. You've been doing comedy a long time.
A long time.
You know, it'd be nice just to write a story about comedy, a book about comedy stories, just in the beginning. Like, I still remember it was a Wednesday night at 11 when I got the page from David Tribble. Like, I was sitting at the Wolf's house. I was at Mike Kessler's house.
The Wolf.
We were coming down off a blow attack. It was like 11:30, and I got a call from David Tribble. Like January, like February of 95, saying, Joey, I got six books. David Tribble, I've got 6 weeks of work for you if you have it right now. Open your book. And me going, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is real. Pocatello, the tour started in a base, an army base or some service base in Utah. That's where the first night was, Utah. I'm like, I thought there were just Mormons. No, this is an army base. I remember I died a slow death. It was like that bar that they used in Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
It looked just like that.
Was that the one where the sergeant's wife gave you a blowjob on stage?
No, that's Nation's Home. That's Mountain Home. I don't know if it's Idaho. Mountain Home, Idaho. It's some type of service base. But that was on that run. Like, that was 6 weeks. That was the beginning of my comedy career. 6 weeks in a fucking car that the axle was broken half and you couldn't hit a pothole or you were doomed. you know, with fucking just everything that your life needed in this car. I had everything in that car. Band-Aids, a football, basketball, swimming fins, because you never know what you needed on the road. And everything was placed perfectly. Blankets, sleeping bags, you know, waterproof shit, socks, clothing, extra food in the back.
When did you ever have to break out the swimming fins?
I had them from, somebody gave them to me when I was married. So I took them with me. They were fucking like $2,000 fins. They were beautiful. So I took them with me, and God knows what happened to those things. They got towed. But I was thinking about what I had back there. I had a great basketball. I had maps. I had books, flashlights, every tool imaginable to fix a car. And I had it placed impeccably, because if I used to get stuck on the road, or I didn't have money for a hotel. Who had money for a hotel, bro? You pulled over at a rest area, locked your doors, left your sunroof a little open, and took your chances. You slept like every 20-minute shot, 20 minutes, until you heard birds and trucks pulling up next to you. It's a fucking horrible way to live.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, and I did that. I used to have to go from Denver to Baltimore. That was my first real gig. And along the way, I didn't have money for a hotel.
Remember Lake Havasu?
Lake Havasu.
Damn, man. For what? We used to go to Lake Havasu, bro.
$150.
So,
for $150
in a room.
Paula asked me today, over the weekend randomly, how long does it take for a comedian to be like headlining? And I told her like around 10 years is what I've heard to like start. And she said like, how do they do it for that long for no money? Like, when you're sleeping on the side of the highway in a car, why aren't you just like, let me go sell drugs again, let me friggin' roof again?
It was hard, man.
That's crazy.
And I had to do. I remember pulling over because there was no rest area. And leaving the car on and sleeping and waking up and thinking that you fell asleep driving, you don't know what that feeling's like. That's why I never slept on the road again, because you have to keep the heat on with the gas running. Yeah. So you'd wake up and all of a sudden you'd pop up and you grab the steering wheel. And that was the scariest feeling I ever had in my fucking life.
I remember I used to get so happy because this guy started a show on Friday nights, Latino night. I forgot his name. He was crazy. But, man, it was crazy. Like, that was the only time I ate pasta with shrimp. Remember? We would show up at the improv, and they had to have warm bread. And then we were eating off two plates, me, you, and then Gavin. Then you told Gavin, hey, man, come on, man. Buck Freeman's going to pass by right now. He's going to get some sharing plates. He's going to get pissed off.
That was,
Yeah.
Because if you did a spot at the improv, you got a dinner.
A big dinner, dude. They don't have the soup. Big shrimps, though. You look down on your plate, and some comedian's already snatched one of your shrimps.
You know, they used to tell you, listen, this gig only pays $50, but it's all you could eat and all you could drink. And you're like, fuck it, I'm getting mine, you know? And they'll give you a hotel room. You brought a gram of Coke because you knew you could fuel that with alcohol. They didn't give a fuck. Let's say you got paid $100, you gave the bartender $10. You drank all fucking night on that $10.
Fuck.
It's fucking hard.
I love when people, whenever I get to go with you somewhere or just go to the green room, they always think it's still like that. And it's like, it couldn't be more opposite of that now. It's just crazy to hear those stories because I've never once seen you go anywhere but the hotel after a show.
Yeah, but I've never, even when in those days, I never partied in the green room.
Well, I'm not saying you partied in the green room, but
I didn't do a line till after I got off that second fucking show.
Okay.
When I got off that second show, as soon as I got off stage, there was no talking to people. There was no pictures. There was no goodbye. There was no nothing. I went straight to the condo, and I had my plan already laid out. I already had the coke laid out, the alcohol. I was a professional. I did all that shit in the afternoon. That shit was in my hotel room in the afternoon.
He'd have it all set up for you?
The one I drove crazy was Joe Rogan, because I'd disappear. He knew.
Yeah.
For years, when Joe Rogan get off the stage, the first thing he said to Ari is, where's Joe Diaz? He left. Fuck! That motherfucker left. You know? I didn't think of anything else. There was a time period where I didn't think of nothing but party. I mean, I went on the road with that girl, Jody Furtick, for 6 weeks, but we did 3 weeks of triple runs. We fucking drank hard.
Fuck.
Every night you drink hard with Jody. I'm talking about a bottle of Tawaka and a case of beer. That's hard. With a couple bumps, a joint or two, 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
That's every night?
Every night every we night. Were on the road. Gosh. We'd sleep Saturday night. We would party. And we may take the first night off of, like, Tuesday night, the first night of the Triple Run. We're in El Paso. In El Paso, you went to El Paso to do one thing. When you went to El Paso, Texas, in those days, it was to do one thing.
What's that?
Snort blow and get your pole smoked. And eat Arby's and eat the...
And that was a Tuesday through Sunday gig, bro.
Fuck. You left Monday morning. No, there were some rough gigs. Miami, there were some towns that you went to and you knew you were going to party fucking hard. You know, you used to have a good club. They're still there, but they're very clean now. Myrtle Beach. When I went to Myrtle Beach, it was fucking on. It was 6 days of fucking constant drinking. The club didn't pay you a lot of money, but they had all these deals in Myrtle Beach that if you sat down for 2 hours and got an ear beating, they give you $300.
Oh, one of those things.
One of those things. So we do two of those. Fuck, I'll take an ear for 300. I'll let you fucking give me an ear beating about whatever fuck you want. Do a credit app on me. You ain't getting nowhere. So, but hasta la vista.
I thought about doing that for those $99 flights to Hawaii.
What do you have to do?
It's like a timeshare thing, and apparently they get really mean. Like, if you start saying no, they'll go to your wife and be like, how are you with this loser of a guy? But apparently at the end of it, it's like $99 flights to Hawaii, so that'd be amazing.
So you have to take an ear beating for how long?
I don't know how long it is. Probably around the same thing.
And it's timeshare in Hawaii?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Whoa.
That's what it is. You think I ever get a timeshare, Felipe?
Hell no.
Fuck that shit, sharing your fucking place with some filthy fucking animals. They got lice and shit up their ass. What's up, dog?
What's up, fool? Just chilling right here, man.
You're doing commercials and shit.
I'm in two commercials, man.
Un buen fit.
Un buen fit para ti. I also did a Target commercial.
Oh, cool.
I did a Target commercial with Laura Lapkus.
Yeah, open up for your Uncle Joey, will you?
I mean, that, when you're talking about that chubby girl and that hot chick, is that how you came up with a joke?
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta go to heaven. You gotta go to hell before you go to heaven. I'm over here fucking the hot one, and I'm looking at the side of here, Van Gogh.
Something. I remember. Something like I wrote that. A bit about it. I wrote.
Yeah, because the other one looked like Van Gogh with a bad nose. Something, they were doing coke something. Like that.
Because yeah, it was fucking horrible. It was a hard. I couldn't get a hard dick.
That doesn't sound horrible. Oh yeah, I guess that's horrible.
Houston, man, is a place to party too.
Houston,
man.
Austin. I used to get fucked up in Austin.
Yeah,
but I used to get some good coke in Houston. By the time I got to the hotel, the phone would ring at the hotel because the manager of the club sold it.
Really?
He called me and go, "It's ready for you when you get to the club." You had a relief. You had a set. And that's tremendous when a manager sold it to you because...
You don't have to search.
You had no. And you had till Saturday to pay him off. So you kept cash all week. He knew where your check was coming from. So as soon as you got your check, you tell the owner, give me cash, and you'd pay him on the way out of town.
Jesus.
Tremendous. But I used to get fucked up, and he used to, oh, my God. I used to call the guy at 4, and I'd stand outside in the street, and he'd bring it to me. Fucking tremendous. Oh, that's right. You went crazy in Houston.
What happened?
You went crazy.
I went crazy in Houston, man. Like, I was already like a party animal in 2004, 2005. I fell off the wagon. And then I ran out of stuff. So I called up Joe Diaz and I hooked up with some little ass Mexican fool, man, in a hotel room. And then after that, me and some cowboy comedian with bad feet. Jenkins, I don't know his name.
He's still out there.
That got married to the girl from the laptop.
Rachel.
Yeah, with that dude. I forgot his name. Him and I, man.
Billy Wayne.
I kidnapped that fool for like eight hours.
You didn't have to kidnap him. That motherfucker was down, dog.
Yeah, he's the one that took me to the hotel. We were partying, bro.
When he started snorting, dog, you got down. I remember we did a 10-hour drive to Midland, Texas.
Yeah,
we
man.
Snorted the whole way listening to Tupac. We don't give a... He's a country dude. We were snorting to Midland, listening to Tupac. He picked me up. That's a 10-hour drive from Houston, Texas to Midland. He picked me up in the middle of the night, like 11 o'clock. And I'm like, what are we doing? You want me to drive? He's like, fuck, no, I got everything ready, man. His eyeballs were fucking gigantic. And he's like, man, I got like an 8-ball and a couple grams spare. Let's just do it. We snorted the whole fucking way to Midland. Because we got there to do radio, so we had the whole day to sleep. So okay. We fucking drove 10 hours straight. We stopped twice to fill up the tank. We were gigged up to the gaggles.
So you went from driving 10 hours to do that gig in Midland to hook up with more shit with Jenkins?
Was it the Jenkins gig?
Yes.
That was the place where the DEA would raid the place while you were on stage. It was fucking... Listen, that Jenkins guy got arrested for when you get married to two people at the same time.
Polygamy.
So he had a wife in San Antonio.
Fuck.
And he had a wife in Midland, Texas.
That's always crazy when people do that.
This guy was crazy. He said he was a magician. He was fucking horrendous. Right? He was horrendous at every level. He was a nice guy. But as soon as you got there, I had never seen this. This is the first time this ever happened to me, ladies and gentlemen. Midland, Texas. You get there, you check in, he calls you. It's going to be a great room. You're going to love it. You get there, and when you get to the green room, he would come up to you and put an 8-ball right in your hand. And he would have one, you would have one, and the feature would have one. So, do you know that the first night he did his 8-ball before the show ended?
Damn.
Two shows ended.
That's fast.
On stage.
Who?
Blasting in the green room. He did it. He came back to me. He's like,
the guy you drove with?
No, Jenkins.
Oh, Jenkins.
He came back to the green room and said, can I get half of what I gave you?
Damn.
Even I didn't do that much. He was on stage doing everybody's material. And his jaw was fucking going. His jaw was going. And the bar was owned by a Mexican dude with big hats and cowboy boots and
ponytails.
Oh, my God. It was fucking on. It was on. And they paid me. I think it was $800 the headline. And what's his name? Got four, the feature. But every night you got there, and that was the deal. You got an 8-ball every fucking night. So Friday and Saturday, gave you a fucking 8-ball. And it wasn't really that good, but nobody really gives you an 8-ball anymore. So at least he took care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Me too. Like, when I went to do the show there in Odessa, that's like the next door to Midland.
Oh, yeah.
I kid you not. Like, it paid, like, I don't know what it... I forgot, like, it paid, like, run, maybe. He paid for your flight. So he gave you, at the end of the week, $1,500 or $1,200. Man, I kid you, every night there was like 12 people there, 9 people, Friday night big show, 12 people. And then the owners in the back just laughing, enjoying the show. You know, some places, you know, people are scared because it's empty. You know, the place is empty, I'm losing money. The owner's having a good time. At the end of the week, he just pays me in all 20s. And then later on, I found out a year later that everybody that was involved in that club went to prison.
Yeah.
Including what's his name? Tom Federoch. Oh, that was the owner who invited, who called me at my hotel room and invited me to a dog fight.
He goes, where's Selena from?
Selena from Corpus Christi.
That was
I party there too, hardcore,
that
man.
Was a room that was run by the cartel.
The Mexican cartel?
Where Jerry Roach is from. That's where they are. Where's Jerry Roach from?
I don't know.
I think Corpus Christi.
No, he's from the town down. He's from...
McAllen?
No, border. Yes, around borders where they shoot people. People go disappearing and shit.
Probably McAllen, Texas.
Corpus Christi, Marilyn Martinez, God bless her soul, and I did a gig that was beautiful. It was a Joy Medina friend gig. And it was two floors. People sat on top. It was like an old... where people go to get ice cream and they sit in chairs. What do you call those places in the 50s?
Ice cream
parlor? A
soda
pop, like an ice cream
pop. Oh, sodas, whatever.
And the guys built a second floor to it, so it was like a stage. It was fucking beautiful. But that place was, the owners were jazzed up. But that Saturday, I think it was Thursday through Saturday, that Saturday the owners gave me and Marilyn some of the best cocaine I ever did in my life. It was a yellow chunk sour. This had to be 98, 99, maybe 2000 when I first started dating Terry. But the craziest gig of them all, the last 10 years, was the one in Iowa.
Oh, that's Whitey's Bar and Grill?
What's the name of the kid with the fucking crazy place in Iowa? Duquesne, Iowa, something. You know, the Mexican kid that picks you up, his family owns the only Mexican restaurant in that neighborhood.
I don't know.
It's two planes. You have to fly into Chicago, then take a small plane to the outskirts of Illinois. Then he picks you up and drives you across the border to Indiana. Now, where he's from...
That's not Mikey O. Mikey O?
No. That's not a Mikey O.
Alex Ortiz?
It's an... Yes, it's one of his buddies. So the guy...
Joy Villa Gomez?
No, the guy used to do comedy once was... Name to fucking tell you. You're like Sammy the Bull Gavano while dropping all these names. Fucking, they fly you in, and right at the airport, The guy pays you.
That's the dude you said that wanted to bring me over, and they pay you in cash, and Felipe. Cash. You call me up in the middle of the night, bro. You go, Felipe, that's the guy right here. They fucking pay you in cash, bro.
He showed up in Vegas.
They love you, but they got Mexicans over here.
Oh, my God. It's a taco place in a white neighborhood, and they've been there for 2,000 years. Like, it's like third generation Mexican or some shit. And they have two places, but they do comedy in one place.
It's not Council Bluff, Iowa.
No, it's him and his brother. And they had a bar. You land in Chicago, then you take another flight to the outskirts of Illinois, and they bring you across the border. But when he was pumping gas, he goes, you know what we're known for? This is the meth capital.
Oh, fuck. Okay,
so we start talking, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, listen, I have an envelope for you. He gives me cash. He gives me weed. And he goes, when you get to the thing, there'll be the blow for you. And I'm good. I'm good. I don't do it no more. He goes, oh, no, I heard. I go, yeah, I did. But no, I stopped about a year ago. I just stopped or something. Now, there's only two flights out of there on a Sunday. And I had like a huge audition Monday. There's two flights out of there Sunday. So I'm sweating this already. This flight's at 5:58 in the morning. It's one of those little fucking jets.
Yeah.
Two
propellers. And if not, you got to wait till like fucking 10 o'clock that night.
Yes.
So I tell him this. I go, listen, bro, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah. And we get to the fucking bar. And the first show was cool. It was a regular show. But after the parents leave, it was a line to go to the bathroom to do blow. I hadn't seen something like that since I was a kid, since I was like 82 when cocaine was very prevalent. It was out there, and you go to bars, and it's like you stepped into a fucking Twilight Zone. Everybody's jaw was going. Everybody's fucking was drooling, smoking cigarettes. Their noses were leaking. Everybody's going in and out of the fucking bathroom.
Last night,
people are hugging. It's just too fucking surreal.
Hell yeah.
This place turned into that for the second show. Lee, in such a way that I was on stage and I could see people's jaws going. I could see drinks that were half full.
Jeff Dunham with no puppets.
When you see people with drinks that are half full, that's how you know there's blow and shit around.
And you were just like a year into sobriety?
Yeah, and I'm looking. I'm not calling it sobriety. I'm calling it not doing blow. I'm still smoking weed with eight hands.
That's true.
And I'm looking around. I'm not being hypocritical, but I hadn't seen that in such a long time.
Yeah.
And when I got off stage, they're like, hey, man, let's party. And people were grabbing me and giving me ferocious ear beatings. And finally, I told the owner, I go, hey, man, because he started partying. I go, dog, make sure you're there in the morning. Yeah, I'll be there. That motherfucker showed up late. He did 100. All the way to the fucking airport and got me there. They barely let me onto the plane. I tormented that guy. He kept calling me for like 2 years. I want you to come back. Fuck you. That was the land of the fucking surreal, my friend. That was heavy duty, man. I couldn't handle that shit ever again like that. That was too real. Too fucking real. Felipe, drop it on me, cocksucker. You're a deaf mute. Did she but you hit you already?
Kind of a little bit, man.
So what were you on before that? What were you smoking before that?
Nothing.
What
is that?
What's the lighter? What's in the green thing with the lighter?
Oh, it's an empty lighter. It needs to refill one of those little cartridges.
Okay, and what's the lighter? What's the green thing on the lighter for?
The lighter is for when you pack the bowl, you just stack it like this with this.
Very nice.
Somebody gave it to me.
Oh, very nice. Okay. How you feeling, fucko?
I'm really fucked up.
You really? Okay. No, you're not fucked up. Yeah, 10 milligrams.
No, I didn't. I had like 30 milligrams.
No, that was nothing.
You look a Chinese guy now with a little hat.
Oh, God,
yeah. He's a fucking tail with stars on it. He could whip you with it and shit like that. What else been going on? What are you hearing?
I'm getting married December 13th.
You know what? I think I may be available. Where's the wedding at?
And Eagle Rock.
And where's the reception?
Eagle Rock, same spot. As soon as we get married, you're going to open up the chairs, the same spot. Turns into the reception hall.
Is it vegan?
Vegan and non-vegan.
What's the non-vegan menu?
Pasta with sausages and meatballs, garlic bread, salad.
Now don't get me wrong.
And the wedding cake's gonna be vegan.
Oh Jesus!
And
he's not going now. He's like,
what's the Mexican food?
Dog? Oh, we ate Mexican food every day.
Nah, your mom ain't making something special?
No, she ain't making nothing.
You're not going to get something catered for the fucking non-spaghetti-eating motherfuckers? Maybe I want to eat it. I'm going to a Mexican wedding, dog. It overpowers the white side. You got to have something for the fucking Spaniards, dog. You can't do this to me. I don't want to eat spaghetti.
We'll park a taco truck right outside.
No taco truck. Somebody make some salsa, some red salsa with some beef. and some Mexican rice and
stuff. I brought you today a vegan carnita today. Lisa made a big batch of jackfruit tacos.
It
took her 3 hours to do, man, and it spiced it up.
It's fucking snack.
It tastes like al pastor. It's pretty good.
Oh, gee. And what is it made of? Tofu?
No, fruit. Jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
Yeah.
What's jackfruit?
Jackfruit is this fruit that only grows in China. It comes in a can. It costs $3, and it looks like an artichoke. And you gotta break it up like wheat and mash that motherfucker up and take all the water out. And then add spices, and it starts looking like pork. It's the same texture as pork. You know the way pork tastes like without no flavor, without just salty. So you add flavors to it and you marinate it. You soak the water out again. It's a long process, and then you refry it again and you deep fry it. And man, it tastes very good. It tastes like carnitas. If you forgot what carnitas tastes like, it tastes good. I'm gonna bring you one, man.
When are you going to snap out of this fucking shit? I love you like a brother. When are you going to snap out of this?
I like my shit to come up smooth, bro, like
what
dairy.
What smooth? What fucking smooth?
You know.
So you got to have a little red sauce and some rice.
We do have rice sauce. We do have
some
rice.
Some flautas and not tamales, but tortillas. And a little salsa maybe, some spicy. I'm not asking you to spend 10 G's. I'm asking you to go to what's that place they sell the margaritas at on Western? El Cholo. Well, El Cholo. They cater all the time. Tell me you want a little sauce, a little rice, a little beef dish. It's all right. Some people don't eat spaghetti.
We are going to have empanadas for desserts, not for hors d'oeuvres. Empanadas.
If you guys only listen to the show, I need you to go to YouTube and watch this show right now because your face looks like he kicked all of your cats in the face.
I got stepped on them. They're going to have we're gonna have a section.
People gonna shoot themselves
with lemon, with lemonade, and punch, coffee, and a bunch of cookies. You know, a bunch of cookies, black and white cookies. You know, if you're from New York.
Listen, just and please,
have biscotti.
Please have some green chili enchiladas for some people. Just get one tray.
Please. I eat that shit all the time.
It's
man.
Not what you're gonna eat. It's not what you're gonna eat. It's not about you. You're inviting your friends into your life and your culture. What the fuck? You're not going to have no mariachis either? They won't go. There's no fucking vegans. They're vegans. You got to have a little green chili burritos with some carne. Nothing expensive. I'm not talking about fucking shrimp cocktails a la fucking, you know, with the fucking sauce. You don't eat that either no more?
What?
A nice shrimp cocktail from El?
No, shrimp is meat. It's a fish. I don't eat animals.
How do you give up all that great Mexican food? Like all the stuff Paul's mom has made? She made me tacos dorados like a few weeks ago.
I mean, I still eat that. You know, like I eat tacos dorados, but they're made out of potato. Okay, you know, so I've had that when I was a kid anyways. And I don't eat, as far as ceviche, you know, that stuff. I still eat ceviche, but it's made out of coconut. I mean, it's not a coconut like from a coconut you buy. It's a young coconut. It's like fresh. It's smooth. It feels like. And then you break it up.
Listen, nothing replaces shrimp on a ceviche, okay? Nothing. 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 Maybe it's lobster from fucking the Northeast or something.
Vegan ceviche is pretty good.
Oh, God almighty, Felipe.
It tastes good.
Just do me a favor, please. Don't insult me. I'm going to go to this wedding. You can't have spaghetti and meatballs, though. Listen.
I don't know what it is. I know there's sausages somewhere.
No, listen. Forget all that shit. Michael Corleone hasn't gotten married in 30 years. All right? Even I did the rent. I did a low-rent wedding. I had carnitas. I had carnitas from the Cuban place. I had pastrami from Langer's. I had something for everybody. I had something else. We ordered something else. You got to have something for everybody. But that vegan, that doesn't fly at a wedding.
Unless it's going to be buffet, too, so.
Oh, well, whoop-de-fucking-do. I'm spaghetti until I constipate.
It's going to be like Shakey's all-you-can-eat buffet. Shit, please. I'm going to have to raise some fucking mojos, listen, bro.
Please, just go ahead. Tell Lisa you just added El Cholo to your fucking wedding list, okay?
I'll see what we can do.
Green cheese enchiladas with some white rice, with some Mexican rice. And some tortillas. That's it. I don't want you to go overboard. I'm not asking you for some shrimp cocktail.
Some tamales, maybe?
Not even. That's how light I am, because those things are expensive, but not a bad idea, because you can vegan them up, and you can put pineapple in them and fruit, but you could also have red ones and green ones. Not a bad idea. Forget the enchiladas. Hit a couple tamales, 24 a piece. What do they cost you, 50 cents a piece, Felipe? Jesus Christ. And some Spanish rice. I'd be so fucking happy. I feel like I went to a cultural thing. I don't want to go to a Mexican wedding and eat fucking spaghetti, dog. It insults my fucking inner being.
I have to scratch up peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, bro.
I'll do one of those, too. Here you go. A little something to break up. I really have like a hole in my fucking heart right now from this conversation.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
To roll a number.
When somebody breaks your heart.
That's it. Keep playing it, you fuck. I'm going to get the full patois tonight. This comic, I got to get filled up again.
Oh, my God.
How do people do this to me? I don't ask for much.
Every time Felipe comes, it's something amazing happens. The black lady knocking on the door. No, it's vegan.
I can't sleep tonight. I'm going to take three sleeping pills. To be true, as it used to do with me. Oh, my God. Well, I gotta become a wedding planner. People will miss the fucking boat.
Oh man, they're expensive, man.
I won't even want to be expensive.
That's a TV show right there.
I just rather not have people embarrass themselves. If I go to your wedding and there's not a stitch of Mexican food, I would be so fucking upset. I would be so upset, like my heart would ache. I would sit there and I would look at, and Terry would be embarrassed. Like she'd say, "What are you?" Because my wife don't understand it either. She'd look at me and say, "What are you talking about? Felipe's your friend." He has no Mexican food here. You don't understand what that means to me. I need something. A little piece of something to represent. I need somebody to shoot a gun. You know? I need,
we'll have a bottle of tapatillas, bro. You can put it in a pasta.
No, I don't want no fucking tapatillas, dog. God damn it. Why are you doing me like this? I thought you were going to leave that vegan shit alone on the day of your wedding. God damn it.
People still don't believe me. I tell them I'm vegan. They tell me, you're vegan, bro? You're fucking fat. What do you eat, crops? Oreos, man, they're not vegan. They're vegan, so you know the Oreos.
What kind of oils?
Oreos.
Oreos.
Oreo cookies.
Those are the best.
Well, put those at the wedding, too. Throw in one of those.
They'll be at the cookie section right next to the black and whites.
Christ, Felipe, you can't do this to me.
No pan dulce, nothing, bro.
No, you got to have all that something. Your family's going?
Yeah, my mom's going.
And you're going to feed them fucking spaghetti? Are you fucking serious? When does this shit end?
Give them Tres Leches cake. That's great. That would be good for all the non-vegan people.
Come on, Felipe. You got a month to change this menu.
The wedding cake is going to be bomb, man. You'll like it.
Listen. I'm on a diet that week. I just want to eat
Mexican. So, the top layer of the cake, zucchini cake.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. This is what I'm talking about. Oh, my God.
Tomato spice cake.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so funny. All the cookies are vegan.
Oh, so how am I going to eat Oreos?
Huh?
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. My face turning red. I can't take it no more. He's killing me with this fucking wedding menu, Felipe. Come on.
We're going to have Justin Rivera doing magic, walking around.
No, you're not.
I called up somebody to get a magician to walk around doing hand magic, and then Justin Rivera said, "Why don't I do it?" So he's been bugging me and Patrick DeGear for about a week.
Where is Patrick DeGear?
I don't know, man. You know, I hosted the Laughlin Comedy Festival. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you told me. Tremendous.
It was crazy, bro. Some of the comics I never heard of were hilarious. The winner was a guy named Dale Jones, bro. He was a cross between Jeremy Hotz and Greg Hahn. Put them together. Dale Jones.
I knew a Dale Jones in Boulder, Colorado. You know him? Hamburger Hill. No, he's about 50 now. He went to Vietnam. He ain't no comedian. He was fucking going crazy in the movie. That ain't the way it is.
This guy was going crazy on stage.
I took him to see Hamburger Hill. He kept bothering me for weeks. When Hamburger Hill comes out, this guy brought his medals in. He brought his fucking pictures in, him and the Marines, at the top of Hamburger Hill, and they made a movie. They didn't include him. Oh. Dog, he went to the movies with me, and 10 minutes into the movie, this motherfucker went off at the movie theater. Fuck you. They had to call the cops. The cops asked me if I knew him. I don't know nobody. You understand? They fucking arrest him. So I saw him 2 days later at the Dodge store. That was one of the craziest jobs I had. I used to work at Hollister, Chrysler, Plymouth, but they also owned a Dodge store.
Colorado?
Colorado and Boulder. That was my second car salesman job. I snorted so much coke there. There was a guy who wouldn't take his coke home. He would hide it in the ceiling. And I would go early and go in the ceiling, take it out, take the coke out and put aspirin in it and put it back in the ceiling. Oh, my God. I used to torment. And then they had the keys to the soda machine. So the fucking soda man wouldn't take, he would take the change but leave dollars. And I would steal the dollars and go eat breakfast with Georgie. Fucking unbelievable. I ran that place amok.
You had adventures everywhere you went. Like, no one has adventures like this.
Georgie had two of the cars. Georgie was the lock guy. So he would take the cars and park them across the street and rent them out to strippers at the bus stop at $30 a day and shit. Fucking tremendous. I got a piece of that action.
And he said he couldn't, and people say they can't get jobs.
And they couldn't fucking, they couldn't find license plates. Whenever you're a dealer, you have dealer license plates. Georgie used to steal them and put them on all the bitches' cars. The bitches would be driving their cars with the dealer plates on them and shit. Fucking tremendous, dog. There was a bank robber who worked there, an ex-bank robber. He did 30 years, came out of jail. He was like 60 when he worked there. That was the most unique, eclectic set of people I had ever seen in all my life, Felipe. But I fucking enjoyed it. What are you going to do? How you doing, Lee? All right?
I'm doing good.
I ain't going to talk about the wedding no more because I'm back to being normal again because that wedding, that shit took me down. I haven't been that down since, I don't know, since what's the name, so I can't get a pussy no more, about 15, 20 years ago. It's fucked up when a girl...
Good, so I'm going to get to our... I'm going to talk about our wedding rings.
Oh. Cause they're earth. What are they made of?
Are
celery?
They vegan?
They're made of... they're made of stainless steel. And the diamonds don't come from the Africa where people get killed.
Where'd they come from?
They come from Jersey. No, it was just a regular ring, you know, nothing big.
Nothing big.
I don't want no big ass ring. You know, there was some big old earthquake ring.
Now, did you do the paperwork on the diamond?
Doing that tomorrow.
To make sure no black people died. Nobody got Ebola.
Nobody got Ebola.
Digging up
bro.
This fucking diamond and shit. The fuck you laughing about, Lee? It's the truth.
They're dying for they're dying.
I don't think there's like good health care in the diamond mines of Africa.
There's people are dying for this glass right here for the fucking phone.
Why? Yeah, but I can't change my phone.
You don't give a fuck anyway. No one. If they told you that to make your iPhone, 10 Chinese people died, would you still fucking talk on the phone? You wouldn't give a fuck about 10 dead Chinese people. We all wouldn't. That's how selfish we are. We would never think of something like that.
We don't care.
Where's the iPhone factory where people jump off the building?
Yeah. Yeah, like Foxconn. Yeah, they have to put nets because so many people did it.
That's fucking craziness.
Do what?
They have nets from the building.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you so many edibles to one day you eat an edible and jump out the window like the priest in The Exorcist.
when I went...
I still got it on a Monday night, cocksuckers.
Hey, when I went to D.C. last week, I went to go visit those stairs, as a matter of fact. The stairs where the priest jumped off in the Exorcist.
Get the fuck out
of
here.
I was there, bro.
Come on. See,
I got the fucking photo
right
here.
Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with here? Some novice? I didn't know that, and I just dropped that. Like,
yeah,
fucking.
Man. It's 2900 Prospect Avenue in Georgetown.
Is the building still there? The house is still there?
The house is not there.
The stairs is where the priest
jumped off, bro.
Jumped out the window, and the cop, too. The cop was out of there. And the fucking... did you see that movie yet, Lee?
That's just... Yeah.
They're like 72
like
stairs.
A year ago when I first started dating Paul.
They're like 72 stairs there, and it was crazy. Bro.
Oh, shit, I got one more edible left for me and Lee.
No, you don't. No, you
here
don't.
It is, look.
Yes, I do.
Stay away from me.
Got it right there, player.
Oh, shit. Did they clean the blood up?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You walked up the stairs?
There it is, Prospect Street.
Oh, shit. Look at Felipe, fucking tourist. He's going to take Bert Kreischer's job soon.
What? No.
Oh, shit.
You know who else came to my show, man? A lot of people from Montebello, from Wild Coyotes. A lot of those bikers showed up. You know the bikers, you see, they showed up deep, bro. They're all like in their 40s, late 40s now.
Sons of Anarchy, the Mayans?
No, the Mongols.
The Mongols showed up.
Yeah, they showed up.
Instead of the Mayans, the Mongols showed up.
The Mongols.
Stop it.
Stop it, bro.
Lee was going to be a biker, but his fucking wheels fell off. So That was the end of that fucking thing. What's up, Lee? Look at you, your little yarmulke representing.
What are you gonna
Israel
do?
In the house. What's going on in Israel this week? What's going on in the weekend?
Nothing good.
Who's throwing rocks, bro? Who's throwing rocks?
Everybody.
Oh, you fucking people. I love it. How you feeling, Lee? What's on the agenda this week? What's his wedding? Lee's got to go to a fucking... Tell him what wedding you're going to.
I have a wedding in Vermont this weekend.
Tell him what fucking Harvey Homo signed up. I told him he would have done cheaper. He would have sent $300 in the mail and said, I love you, but I'm busy.
Is it a vegan wedding?
No, not at all.
Fuck no. You're the only one who does those and shit. Stop it.
But they're having it on a Sunday, so maybe that equals vegan. So yeah, I just no, it'll be fun. I mean, I've never been in a wedding before.
Fucking fun.
I don't know. I do. I am. I just found out I have to miss a freaking Tom Brady Peyton Manning game next Sunday because of the wedding. That's pissed.
Where are they playing at?
New England.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
What time is the game, man?
4 o'clock Eastern.
What time is the wedding?
Probably the same thing.
Oh, see, they fuck everything. They didn't check the schedule.
No.
See?
Well, they don't like football.
You fucked up completely, dog.
I'm all right.
Send the nickel next time.
Next time I will.
Send the nickel, your condolences, send the yarmulke. What's up, dog? Tell me something good.
What's up, fool?
I can't call it no more. Oh, you're over there fucking bringing me down. Bring me up, you fuck. Tell me something good. What's happening?
I'm going to be in Fort Myers, bro.
Fort Myers what?
Fort Myers, Florida at the... Off the Hook Comedy Club.
Come on.
Next month in November.
Come on.
And then Pleasanton, Tommy T's. I'm bringing Armando Cosillo.
Oh, shit. What about New Year's? Where you
New Year's Eve, bro. I'm going to be over there with the Savages over there in fucking Reno, Nevada with your boy, Wayne Wright.
Come on. What's the name of the club? The Underground?
The Underground Comedy Club.
That's going to be for New Year's
I'm gonna
Eve.
I'm going to be there for New Year's Eve.
Just New Year's Eve, Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
Two shows?
Two shows. Halloween, bro. I'll be walking around West Hollywood on shrooms. Nah, I'm just kidding. I wish. No. That's where I'll be, though. West Hollywood.
Vegan? The shrooms aren't vegan?
Shrooms are vegan, bro.
So what's the problem? Pop some shroomage. Ask
I don't know, man. Who's got them, bro?
Ari.
Ari? All right.
You're not going to go see Ari for the taping of his special at the Comedy Store?
When is it?
Wednesday night. We're going to be at the Ice House. You should go check out Ari. He's got chocolate with mushrooms and a vegan. You eat fucking chocolate, it's all over. I only gave Lee a little piece.
Yeah, but he gave it to me without me knowing what it was. He's like, here, eat this.
How did you feel?
It was actually pretty nice because he didn't give me enough to
get
it. Anything
happen?
No. It felt like a light high, but it was
still
fun.
You didn't see the devil because I didn't want to take him that
deep. Not that. You didn't see me.
Not that. You didn't see me. No. So then your New Year's with Wayne. That's good, man.
So New Year's Eve, I'm there. I'm going to be in Pleasanton, Tommy T's.
Off the Hook Comedy Club.
In Fort Myers in November.
November. How many planes you got to take to get down there?
Oh, man. I probably got to fly to Miami and then Fort Myers.
Okay. I know it's like two planes, but it's a good club, I heard.
It's a good club. So many clubs are opening up, you know.
What else is opening up? What is a new club?
New club over there. Jim Belushi opened up a club in Fort Myers, too.
Come on.
It's called Belushi's. And he has a lot of SNL stuff inside the club. That's another club. And there's another guy named Rick Bronson. I don't know. You know him?
Oh, Arizona.
He opened one in Arizona, yeah.
He's got a great club in Minneapolis, the Mall of Minneapolis.
I've never done that. I've been wanting to go to. I've never been to the Midwest, Joy. You work Toledo?
No.
I never Toledo.
What about, have you worked, you don't work Arizona for nobody?
Yeah, we're 10 p.m. Prob.
Okay,
every year.
All right. Then you can't work Rick Bronson then. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good to go. Where are you going to work at the next couple of weeks, Lisa? Yeah.
We have the live podcast next week.
Yeah. This week, Wednesday.
This week.
2 days before fucking Halloween, and you don't know next week. Look at
that. I'm so high. No, it's kind of interesting you brought that up. I was watching a show today, and it was Anthony Bourdain. He was talking to this economist, and he was like, there's 7 billion people now. There's not that many jobs. Like, we don't have that need for people. And, like, you were talking about how comedy used to start on a Tuesday, and now it's kind of, like, adapted to, like, this. Like, what do you think about, like, in the future, how what comedy is going to look like? Maybe you won't travel. Maybe you'll just do live streams in the cities, on like, from here. Like, I was just thinking, like, how it like, evolves to fit the needs.
I'll do a pay-per-view, bro.
That'd be fun.
We'll have to do live camera with a live audience and have people just pay $5.
And then
to stream it live. Like, stream it live, but get a real big sponsor to pay for it all. And then you get your cut. I think they did it like that at a concert for that Coachella show.
Okay.
One of those gum places. They bought the whole show and they aired it live on the internet on YouTube and they got to see the whole concert.
The only issue is now you go on the week every you go on the road every week to different cities. If you did a TV like an online pay-per-view thing, everyone would watch it at once.
So yeah, that's it.
So you couldn't do it every week.
You would have to come up with a new material every week to make it interesting. Well,
if you're a fan of somebody, you know, for $3, if I could see Lee Syatt do Toledo and then Lee Syatt do Minneapolis for $3, why not? Tape it for $3, come home later that night, put it on, laugh a little bit. It's $3. It's $3. A special cost you, whatever. You know, when I travel, I see the same people over. They hear some of the same jokes over. They're not going to fucking go crazy. Turn that thing off, please. They're not going to fucking go crazy or nothing. It's the, you got to sell them the sizzle with stand-up. They could see stand-up on a million fucking channels now, Felipe. People could see anything. I remember when Monday Night Football was huge. I remember when you saved money, when you had to make a choice between going out on Sunday or going out on fucking Monday. You had to make a choice. Like, I'm going to put away $40, plus maybe somebody will split a gram of Coke with me, $20 to drink. You know, Monday Night Football was huge. God forbid somebody place gave food away. We used to go to the Ground Round. They used to give out meatballs and little grilled cheese sandwiches. That's where you went. And you had cocktails. What happened to Monday Night Football? It's dead. Tuesday nights, you know, if you have a bar today, what is your lineup at a bar? Let's say Felipe, 5 years from now, moves to Pleasanton, California, buys Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Yeah.
You got a business that you pay a lease on 7 days a week. Do you, as an economist, as a business owner, what do? You just open up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so 4 nights a week the place stays shut? What do you do in this economy? You're going to pay for the place anyway. If you turn the lights on, it's going to be a fraction of the cost anyway. So you open up. You open up Sunday and you make something for the people. Guess what? You're going to have to, it's going to cost you $100 to put a tray of sandwiches out. But if that's what it takes to take people there, you know, I go to these hotels every week and these hotels are giving you more and more. I went to Baltimore. I stayed at a hotel that they give you $400 a night. There was no coffee machine in my room. There was no coffee in the lobby till 6. Both nights, the fucking wake-up call was wrong. You know, so why am I paying for it? Last week, I went to a Best Western. I thought I was the prince of fucking Dubai.
Yeah.
Eggs, oatmeal, waffles, apples, oranges, fruit, white bread, rye bread, English muffin, coffees, 24 hours, fresh coffee, a coffee maker in your room, a gym that wasn't bad, a heated pool, a pool outside, you know, wake-up call, a business office, or 3 different terminals that you don't have to pay for. So when I'm flying with my family, I know that I can wake up and have breakfast already taken care of. Do you know what a breakfast costs a family of 3 to go on vacation?
50, 60 bucks?
A lot.
Yeah.
I just saved $60. Guess what? People are going to go there. People are going to get attracted to those hotels. They give you a little something. Well, the same thing has to happen now. The podcast. The last 2 months, I've gotten contacted by 3 different people to charge money for the podcast. Why would I do something like that? Why would I change the rules? Why would I go home and take my ball at now? I want to give this away. I want people to listen to
it.
Do you understand me? You know? Yeah, people, oh, well, you could sell it for $7 a month and get 100,000 subscribers and get 70,000 a month. You know what? I want people to come to my show. I want people to listen to what's in my heart and what's in my mind, what's in Lee's heart and his mind, and what's in your fucking heart. Don't tell me about menus.
Mostly THC at the moment.
You don't know. And that's the thing. That's the fucking difference. I could charge for it. I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, so there's, it's you have to give something. Tuesday nights, it was okay to get a microphone. Some dude with a bad wig who never had the balls to go to Broadway and sing. And you had karaoke night. How many karaoke nights are there? That went done. So what are you doing a Tuesday night, Lee, in your bar? What do you do, Lee? Do you give away 6 beers for $1 a bucket? That's not going to make people come in. That's going to make fucking alcoholics come in and bust your balls.
You have a comedy contest.
No, you have to do something, you know. Comedy contest works on a Wednesday night, and, you know, $500, and the winner goes and does a set at Lee Syatt's house and tapes.
I will rent out the comedy club during the day for conventions, and then you'll offer them free tickets for the night.
You can't do comedy 7 nights a week.
No.
So you have to pray, like, tomorrow night, game 6. That's a big bar game. Thank you. The bars make money tomorrow night.
Have you ever shown the East Coast? Nobody watching it, huh?
No. They're happy that there's the World Series tomorrow. But what do? This is a tough fucking economy. There's 1,000 fucking bars. There's a bar in every strip mall, guys. So you're trying to get all these people. How many million?
7 billion.
7 billion people. You're trying to get a percentage of these people into your fucking bottle. Yeah. What do you do, Lee? It's a fucking risky business.
It is, man, because now think about it, man. Last week I was at the Ice House, sold out stage shows. No, I was thinking the whole time. As a comedian, you know, you're happy, but you think bad. You think the worst. Could I have done that if the Dodgers were in the World Series at the Ice House, you know? Can I compete with the Dodgers? Can a comedy club in Los Angeles compete with Game 6?
No.
No way, right?
No.
If that's your comedy night, if you're premiering your comedy night.
You would have done good. You would have done good because not everybody has the, you know, you could tape games.
Yeah, you
now
could tape and, games, watch them on Hulu.
But you would have done great. Yeah, I think you would have done good. I think there's a market for people who watch the Dodgers. You know, the Lakers are starting next week. That's it. That changes the face of comedy
Dude,
in L.A.
I did
with me, you and I. We got burnt by 1,000 Laker games.
Wild Coyotes.
1,000 Laker games. You're ready to go. You got a spot at 9:30. You got a spot at 10:15. You got another spot at 11:45. You got another spot. All of a sudden you get to the first spot and what's going on, dog? How come this show hasn't started? Dog, this is a motherfucking Laker game.
Oh,
it's
man.
The third quarter. You're like, God damn it. I need this 50 fucking bucks. This is all part of the equation. Now you're late for this one. You're late for the other one. You're late for the other one. You're late for the other one. Now I got to fucking follow this fucking jerk off. He's going to jump up and down, do the joke about the dog. I don't need this shit in my fucking life. So that's what it would do. It would just ruin. The Lakers will fuck your night up. People don't. Listen, man. People still want to watch them. I don't care how bad they are. If the fucking point guard's out for the season. These are diehard Laker fans. Same thing with the fucking Dodgers. People watch them. I remember being in Houston 10 years ago when the Houston Rockets were in the playoffs. Yeah. And they were popular. They didn't give a fuck who was in town. You know, when the Dallas Cowboys play against the Giants and they play in Dallas, if it's a 7 o'clock game, I don't give a fuck if you're Houdini and you're going to stab somebody in the pussy. They're not fucking coming to see you, dog. They're not coming to watch you. Not when the Dallas, never mind Denver. Oh, if you got a game on a Sunday night and Denver's on nationally televised Sunday night, you're in no danger.
Sold out?
Yeah, you're in no danger. You have four fucking people there with helmets on. It's a fucking nightmare. No. It's amazing what you compete with. As you know, businesses, and I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people could run a bar.
Do you get pissed off? Because my dad was in nightclubs for the one of the things he did, and he would have like singles parties, and anytime it snowed or rained or there's something like that, he would get pissed off. Like when you see the weather, or do you see, like when you're going to Baltimore, the Orioles almost got in, and I was like, fuck, I hope, because like, do you think like negatively about that? Like, God, that's going to kill my shows.
The Orioles being in the playoffs and that wouldn't have helped me in Baltimore. If Hannibal Lecter was giving haircuts, it wouldn't have helped me in fucking Baltimore this last week. And I had like mediocre shows.
Oh, okay.
Man, I was.
It's a new club. So if they moved it, people were going to the old address, you know.
Oh, fuck.
But it's a great club. I love it.
What club was that?
The Joke Factory. It moved.
The Joke Factory.
Somebody got blasted.
Damn.
Somebody went to, what's the dude from Mad TV, the black kid?
Harry Spears
shows. And after he threw somebody out. And the guy went outside and shot the doorman, or the doorman shot him. So that wasn't good for publicity for the club. So the club, you know, who wants a comedy club where somebody's been shot at?
So they just picked up and moved?
They just picked up. Well, you know, when you have a dead body in your fucking doorway, you know, even if you're fucking creepy, you're like, you know what, it's time to go.
Yeah, you know? same thing happened at that club we did in Weird Oceans.
Oh, my God.
So they shot the security guard.
Oh, my God. I remember going there the night afterward, and there was candles right outside the... Oh, my God.
What did you do to the candles?
They shot the guy the night before.
No, what did you do with them?
I didn't do... No, I picked them up and read them. I didn't do nothing. Lee. I just fucking walked past them and said, I can't believe I'm doing comedy at a place where somebody got shot last night. And they opened up the bar.
Yeah, but it was
Sunday
night.
And they were at the bar drinking shots, like, to the spirit of Raymond. And Raymond's like,
I was there, man, when the owner fell off the wagon, bro. And he was fucking just pouring everybody free drinks. Oh, and they got fucked up, man.
Oceans. That was Martin Moreno's room. Martin,
you know what, Lassa?
I'll never forget that one time I went in there and some girl started talking to me. She's like, have you been in movies, man? I'm like, I get lucky from time to time. She just walked over. Like, I had like a 10-minute set in the middle. The show wasn't over. And she told me that she had just gotten out of county jail. And for 20 or 25 bucks, she showed me her pussy. It was fucking...
Did she show it to you?
Fuck no. this chick was all tatted up and she was chunky and shit. And her pussy probably smelled like a jail cell. I don't want to smell that shit. She's like, for $25, I'm just looking for a little piece, Papa, you know. She was like, I got an old man, so I can't fuck you. But I'll show it to you and let you finger me. Get the fuck out of here. That was Oceans. That was fucking Oceans.
Oh, man.
That was Oceans.
What happened to me at Tortillas? I was there, dude, and then I saw some girl that I would see at Casa Latina. And she used to roll deep, you know, crazy J party animal. Then I hadn't seen her for a long time. Then I saw her at Tortillas, and I was drinking at the time. And I saw her, hey, I remember you, man, from back in the days. She goes, yeah, I remember you too. She took me to the bathroom. She lifted up her skirt. She said, I just got out. I just beat a murder rap. I just want to party, man. So I was like, fuck, her pussy was hairy, dog. Like Bush, and she was in line, bro. When I saw her Bush that hairy, I knew that she was locked up, and she did beat a murder rap, and murder was the case that they gave her.
Shit,
dude, we got crazy, man. But you know, I didn't have no condom at the time. I just jerked off, you know, in a little afro, and then she just took off with a bunch of like she took off, bro. And I remember she was freaking with like 5 cholos after me. You know, she was gonna get. She was on a mission, bro. She beat a fucking murder rap. Don't hate on her. What would you do, bro, if you beat a murder rap? Fuck you. You want to fuck everything that moves.
Yeah.
So does she.
Listen, all he wants is a 6-inch fucking Subway cold cut combo right now. Look at him. Look at the hats twisted. What are you thinking about?
He was a media noche right now.
What are you
going to
eat right now tonight when you go home?
Knish.
I don't know right now. Knish. Yeah, I could go for Knish.
He said to me, I'm not going to eat nothing because I just beat a plateau.
Shut up. I did. It's hard.
It is hard.
And then tonight? I have fucking edibles with it. I have munchies with them.
What are you going to eat tonight? What are you going
to
eat tonight?
I'm going to try to do nothing.
Carnitas.
But what do you have? What do you have for emergency situation? I know you got those fucking rice patties. I'd rather be in an ISIS back game.
They're not bad. Like the caramel ones are fucking, good.
The camel ones?
Caramel. Camel? No. Caramel.
I'd rather be in an ISIS isolation camp than eat those fucking rice cakes. What else you got?
I got granola bars.
They're not pretty bad. Good.
Yeah, peanut butter granola bars. I do, yeah.
5 slices of how many calories?
50.
And how much bread?
2 slices.
How much cheese? And you put one that slice. Cheddar cheese on it, you yeah. fucking filth.
Light cheddar.
How many calories?
I think we figured it was like 250, 260 or something.
Unbelievable.
You count calories?
I've been doing it, yeah.
He's doing good. He lost how many pounds?
65.
60 fucking 5. Look at him.
Damn, bro.
Look at him. He's a savage.
But this doesn't
help.
Can you
have that water, please?
Oh, yeah. You want another one, Joey?
Couple minutes.
No, yeah, it's been going good. But when we have edibles, I want to go back to Jack in the Box and get 10 orders of tacos.
The epileptical today?
An hour.
How many calories you burn?
800.
Now you moving those feet. Now they're fucking flying, right?
Yeah, not that bad. I don't go.
Your feet are fucking moving like.
I do like 4.5 miles. I think it says so. It's not that fast.
You walk 4.5 miles.
The elliptical, so not
and
really.
What speed do you move at?
The incline's 11 and the resistance is 8.
So you, but how fast are you moving?
4.5, and that took an hour. Hour was 4.5 miles.
No,
I don't know.
It says
it's fast.
There's a speed on there.
I don't look at the speed. I put my iPad
it says,
over it.
It says 6 or 5.3 or 3.5.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ!
You I put my iPad over and I watch movies.
Okay.
Wow. That's funny. You put your app and you watch movies and you walk.
Yeah, I just do the elliptical because it's boring otherwise. And like even music, like you kind of like just start fading. So I watch stupid action movies.
Crazy. When I went to the dentist, I'm afraid of dentists because I'm always painful. They always like jam so hard. I could see the guy jamming. I don't want to see him pull. So this guy's like, it's like a dentist for pussies, right? So they put a headphone set on me and one of these visors so I could look at a movie.
I had that in Boston.
Yes, and I'm watching Netflix. And like me, like an idiot, I'm watching Walking Dead. And with the walkers eating somebody, they're drilling my mouth going, eh.
I watched Man on Fire at the dentist in Boston.
Well, they were working on your mouth. You could see the movie, right? Yeah. It's amazing.
Not bad.
He worked on you throughout the whole
movie? Not the whole movie.
Let's say he drills on you up to the part where they kidnap. What do you go? I want to go home now? Fuck no, Doc. Keep drilling, bitch. Keep drilling, bitch. There's got to be a cavity in there somewhere.
Pull another tooth.
Put it on the bill, cocksucker. He's still got to go shoot a bunch of Mexicans.
I've been bodyboarding, bro, at the beach. I've been going to the beach twice a week.
Do you still?
Still, bro.
Okay.
I get for real, man. I'm getting good, dog.
So what do you do?
I got bodyboard. it's like surfing, but you lay on a bodyboard. It's easy. You're like laying down on a bed, but you're catching waves.
And how deep water is it?
Oh man, it's like sometimes it's 6 feet. But I got bit by a stingray, man, in Newport. Yeah, fool. I got bit by a fucking stingray, man.
He's interrogating you like he's like a cop, and you're about to like explode with like the evidence you have.
That's right, cocksucker. Everything. What the fuck? What are you doing? Fucking body surfing, but you're Mexican. You should be in a mariachi band, cocksucker.
Everything you're saying is going to like a deeper level of anger. You look too left, and it'd be like something weird.
I got pictures, but I got hit by
no, 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 no. I don't want to see no pictures. I just want you to break it. Yeah, I need a water, please.
Okay.
I get through on 8 in the morning.
The yarmulke fell.
Nice t-shirt, bro.
Thank you, man.
Oh, my God.
You have a cool shirt on, too?
I have to open that for your Uncle Joey. My finger's
cold. You're so high. You can't open the water.
Oh, my finger's cold. You see, I got a Band-Aid on that cut.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I got a fucking paper cut the other day. I was calling the lady, and all of a sudden the lady goes, look at your finger. What happened? I go, I don't know. I was bleeding to death. I'm surprised I didn't faint. So talk to him about this body fucking surfing.
Oh, man.
I was a little thirsty.
Hey, here. Here's your part of this. The first time, well, I've been going out there since May, trying to get good at it. And the first time I went out to Malibu, I don't know. There's different types of waves. There's dropping waves, and then there's curving waves or regular waves. I fucking got lifted up on a wave that drops 6 feet, and I just fucking, like, when the wave dropped me, there was no more water under me. The wave was behind me, and I got crushed, and my face was all bleeding, and I almost broke my neck. I survived.
Is it like a boogie board?
A boogie board, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a bodyboard, yeah.
Why don't you take this fucking Google switch?
I haven't done it for like 20 years.
Yeah, so I've been doing that lately.
And you go with no shirt on?
I go with no shirt on. I got cut in the rip, bro. A rip is when there's a wave. It's taking the people out in the ocean, and a lot of people drown. So I was cut into that shit, dude. I was fucking scared. I fucking the water took me 100 yards.
I let it back in.
Oh man, I swam sideways to the other side of the beach, and then I let the wave take me back. And then I saw a lifeguard. He told me, "What the fuck you doing over there, fat boy?" No, you say, "What the fuck you doing over there?"
So let me ask you something. So you got a different surfboard and a bodyboard. It's different.
Yeah, a boogie board is it's smaller than a surfboard. You don't stand on it. You lay down on it. You hold on to it like this. You know, like your joke, a Cuban on a 2x4.
All right. So do you put the ankle bracelet on to keep the boogie board?
Yeah, I have fins.
You have fins.
Yeah.
Okay. See, what were you laughing about the fucking fins before?
Fins.
That's a badass fins,
bro. You're driving around Denver and Colorado with fins.
You never know when you need fucking fins. You never fucking know.
You might see a river, bro.
See a river. There's a diamond down there. There's a 20-something.
You gotta dig out a body.
How many days a week do you go down there?
Twice a week.
What days you go down there?
I might go like Tuesdays or Thursdays. I get up, get me and my Elisa fiance. We go to like 8 in the morning. We get there. And we're right bodyboarding with a bunch of other people that we don't know them, but there's surfers there. Pretty interesting. Oh, but getting back to the story, on 4th of July, it's the day that I'm there most of the day, a lightning hits the ocean and 5 people get killed.
What?
Yeah, man. Oh, and I was just on the other side.
See?
I don't know why I dropped that in there, but yeah.
No.
Why do girls always want to do stuff early in the morning on the weekends?
Does Paula want to do some early in the morning on the weekend? What she wants?
She used to. We used to go out for breakfast every time, but I got a coffee maker now so I can stay home.
You got a coffee maker?
Yeah.
And you make breakfast now?
Yeah.
You save a 20 too. That's
I know,
bucks.
It's expensive.
5 days a week for breakfast. What the fuck you think this is and shit? You
know?
This fool got
better
the
get
better
some fucking eggs and some salsa on those motherfuckers.
The Flying Jew bed and breakfast.
Because let me tell you something.
That'd be nice.
To me, I really enjoy. So I like some nice eggs. With some green onions, a little cheese.
I had a real egg for the first time this weekend.
A real egg?
In a while, because I've been on egg whites. But fucking, I had to have a real egg.
You eat egg whites every day?
I have.
By the yolk?
No, you just buy it in the carton.
Are you man. A fucking
move? It saves a lot of calories, man.
My mom, our breakfast, man, used to be like two eggs over easy.
Oh, yeah.
With ranchero sauce, like hell tomatoes yeah. and jalapenos and onions cooked on the same pan.
That's it.
And bro. Poured over the fried eggs.
That'd be nice.
With beans inside and rice and some fresh cheese on the beans.
Paula made my favorite.
Homemade flour tortillas.
I don't know what you guys called, but my mom called it eggs in a basket. It's like toast with an egg in the middle.
I saw that in a movie, bro. Oh, it's Still so Magnolias. First time I saw that. This Italian woman, she did that with an egg and a bread, and she put mozzarella and spaghetti sauce over it. Was it good?
I get the roll and just get the egg yolk.
Yeah.
Or you get the egg and you break the yolk and you fry the egg up and then you put some cheese on it and a slice of tomato with some fucking butter or something. Good googly moogly.
Yeah.
That's the way they used to do it at the Sunset Grill. That's New Jersey style. A cedar roll. Cut that motherfucker in half with a Coke in a can for breakfast. What?
There's nothing better than buttered toast, like actual buttered toast. When the butter really gets in
when
there.
When the butter gets in there, you put an egg yolk on that motherfucker and bite right through
Let's go to Denny's right now.
That's not good. You get those communist eggs.
You ever had chilaquiles?
No, Paul's been telling me about it.
You got to deep fry some tortilla chips, regular tortilla packs, you know, with oil, and then add el pato sauce. It has to be el pato sauce over it. Then you fucking scramble the egg in it with it. And then while it's cooking, bro, you throw in some cheese, Monterey Jack, and you serve that motherfucker up, bro.
Yeah, her mom puts chorizo in it, I think.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, once the mother and you move up here, you're going to be walking from here to Beirut.
Oh, yeah.
Every fucking day. It's over. It's curtains for you. You can't control that urine. You'll be over there in the morning. You'll move them in. When are you going to move them in? Why don't you just fucking move them in? You live with the mother, the cousin, the whole thing.
I love the mother, no.
Say, look, you live here, just cook, wash my laundry. And keep the house fucking spotless and shit.
My mom would kill me if I moved another person's mom in.
What was she? She don't have to know. It's not her business. When she comes out, you put her in a hotel. She can't go to your place because it's got fucking Ebola. You tell her whatever the fuck you gotta tell her. What else is going on?
You tell
on?
Her my nanny. This is my nanny, and their house burned down, so they're spending the night.
You still going to acting class?
Hell no.
That's it. You're done.
$200 a month. I'm done, man. I was paid too much money.
How much?
It was like $300, $250.
A month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much money. They some guy called me, hey, man, I want to ask you something. There's an acting class, and they're looking for good people. And I go, what night is it? You know, I'd like to go. And he goes, Tuesdays from 7 to 10, it's $260 a month. I go, what?
Yeah, that's what I was paying.
What? What are you talking about, $260 a month? That's a fucking car payment.
For four classes?
Four classes, $260 a month. 7 to 10. You know what? I don't even have the ADD to sit there anymore to watch those scenes. I could maybe watch one or two scenes and get the fuck out of there. Whenever I went to, like, acting class down at Havana Chubbuck's, I did one of the first top three scenes. I got the fuck out of there. You could stay. I would stay sometimes and watch because you learn from acting sometimes. You learn as much as doing the scene than watching it sometimes. You learn because you're like, I know what this scene is and what he should be doing and what he should have been doing. But, oh, look what he just did. Oh, shit, look what he just did. I didn't even see that coming. So that's how you learn how to fucking act sometimes. When people hit me up, I always tell them, go to a local place locally that teaches like an acting class. You'll learn so much. You really will. And if you're good at it, then you excel. Then people tell you where the fuck to go, right or wrong. They go, hey, go to this place. They do a dance group, and you can jump up and down and be Shakespeare. I never wanted to do Shakespeare.
You? Why not?
I don't know.
To be or not to be. That is a question.
You got a fucking point there.
I was paying, when I was doing, I did two acting classes. Pat Buckle, my manager, hooked me up with another of my first acting coach, which I liked. It wasn't that much. It was $75 for like 2 hours every time I met her. And she taught, I think she was like a Brad Pitt fan, but I got to memorize a lot of scenes with her, like True Romance. No. That scene in Thelma & Louise when Brad Pitt shows up. And he has sex with Angela Davis, I think that's her name. And that was the scene that I learned over and over. And like, she made me, and I had to learn it. And after a while, I got good at it, you know. But that money got tight, bro. But now, man, I don't think I need an acting class anymore. But acting classes are good, man. If you want to go, if you're like an ugly guy and you want to hang out with hot chicks, eh? There's a lot of hot chicks, bro, in acting classes. Sometimes I feel like the acting coach throws in the hot chicks in the classroom to entice guys like me to throw in another 300 for another month.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a hot chick, bro. Like, they're so coming in for the acting class, and you're there, American Idol. Well, there.
I had Chubbuck had the blonde chick, and she had Halle Berry.
We had two blonde chicks. We had a girl who was from Switzerland in my class, and her friend who wanted to be a rapper.
No, but Ivana Chubbuck made her name by having, what's the chick who won the Oscar, the blonde, the tall one that's dating Sean Penn now? She was in the Italian Job.
I forget.
She just did a movie that I watched the
other day. Charlize Theron?
Charlize Theron. And then the next year she had Halle Berry. She always had Halle Berry. And once they won the Oscar, every hot chick.
Robin Wright?
No. Therese Charon. You just fucking said it, Felipe.
But she's not married to Sean Penn, is she?
She's hooked up with Sean Penn now. Robin Wright's done.
All right, cool then.
Yeah,
she with House of Cards.
Yeah, she's done. She's available.
All right.
And she ain't going to have no Italian food at her fucking wedding, all right? She'll have like fucking... You going to get some Mexican food for your Uncle Joey?
We'll try it, bro.
Come on, bro. Just get a tray from Ochoa. Don't embarrass me. I got to go there and sit next to Spanish people eating fucking vegan food and shit. I'm getting upset all over again. I won't be able to sleep tonight, though.
There'll be a non-vegan side. You'll be all right.
No.
There's a side?
Huh?
You're keeping them separated?
What? And that shit smells to fucking high heaven. You know that shit smells fucking bad, dog. Please, have some El Cholo nice tamales.
There might be fajitas there or something.
No. Listen, dog. Listen, this is easy. No fajitas, because I know there'll be a by the way somewhere.
Tofu.
Just have a little thing that says El Cholo on it to make people at ease.
There'll be Cholos.
Why do I get so fucking upset at this shit? When you get married to this Mexican bro, you better do the right thing too, cocksucker.
I will.
I want some have Jew dry food, fish. Some lox, some bagels, and on the other side, that'll some fucking red sauce, some enchiladas. That's a wedding, man. I don't like
chilarrianos.
Yeah, I'd go for one of those tonight myself. What do you think, Lee?
I'll go for it.
No, you fucking can't. You got to get it together, cocksucker. Let me give some shout-outs here.
Okay.
There's some beautiful people here. Felipe's in the house. You bad motherfuckers, you. All right, my main man, Matthew Bailey, Kenny Mincher, Chris Adamson, Bobby Crook, Mike Stanley, Paul Speller, Renee Encarnacion Gnome, my main man, and Brady Lynn. When are you going to fucking call me? You want me to call you? What the fuck's going on here, people? All right. I don't even know what to talk about no more. It's not that I'm high. It's just that I'm out of fucking words. You threw me a detour with this.
What book. Happened, bro?
You fucked me up with this wedding, dog. You can't be talking to me about a Mexican getting married and having no Mexican food at his wedding. I want you to represent your culture in some way, and then you throw curveballs at me like, oh, I'm going to have this. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't give a fuck about the cookie section. I go to hit hard. I want some nice fucking chili, rellenos.
There'll be some good food, man.
How about some enchiladas with some nice green sauce on them? I don't ask for much. It could be the buffet for me. You know who's got a nice fucking cheap menu? Acapulco. I could eat those cheese enchiladas with some rice. You like Acapulco? On Sunset? Fucking tremendous. I don't know how many times that buffet fucking saved.
That buffet's good.
That buffet's delicious at Acapulco. I used to hit that once a month. You ever hit that, Lee?
No.
Damn. Is it still there?
Yeah.
It's.
Last time I went there was after Marilyn's funeral. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's still there, man.
It's really not bad. You would think a Mexican buffet wouldn't be that good.
It's easy. It's plain. They have soup, right? They always give you like a chicken soup.
A chicken soup, yeah.
A chicken soup. Then they have a cheese enchilada, some type of chicken, some type of beef. I usually get 3 or 4 cheese enchiladas. They got delicious Mexican rice. And you put the green chili sauce and the Mexican rice and dope it up, some onions. They have a tray of onions. And then on the way out, they got a nice fucking dessert. You can't go wrong. I'm not kidding you. That's the first place I ate when I moved to Los Angeles.
Where?
January 29th. 1997. I stopped it fucking right there, right on Sunset.
Acapulco.
As we pulled off the 101.
Funny man, the place you told me that was really good, and I always tell people, man, if you like chicken tacos that are made good, Los Tacos.
Where?
Los Tacos right there on Santa Monica Boulevard.
We used to go there after the Comedy Store.
The place with the watermelon juice.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. We should.
That place was good.
Not anymore, right?
No. Still there.
It's still there.
Right next to a 7-Eleven.
I haven't been there in 10 years.
Yeah, I've been there.
We talked about it.
It's still there. Still there.
They used to have a chicken burrito with white meat in the middle.
Yeah.
With some rice. And instead of instead of refried beans, I get the
black
pinto
beans.
Fuck. With that green shit, the fucking cilantro.
Yeah.
And some onions. What? With some sour cream in that motherfucker. Come on now.
Yeah, man.
Come on now.
This Mexican restaurant, Los Tacos, they have a big old mural, and the mural is all The Last Supper, but The Last Supper characters are all Mexican actors. Like, they got Mil Máscaras as Jesus, and then some other motherfuckers as something else. But that place is still there, man. And they got real, they give you some cream as much as you want.
We did that.
But if you get to at 2:30 in the morning, man, Los Tacos turns into Los Tacones.
Oh, yeah. It's
with means crazy. With means high heels. It's all Mexican trannies there, man.
Let me tell you something, man. A couple years ago, Nick Turturro called me, and he says he's doing a movie, blah, 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 blah. And he's a real funny Spanish guy. And I'm telling him right off the bat, I'm like, listen, it's Felipe's bars. I'm looking for this guy. I can't find him. It's fucking Felipe's bars. I don't know. You know, I reached out to Paul Rodriguez. I go, that's great, but the guy you're looking for is Felipe Esparza. So finally he sees Felipe. Lisa drives him, and he calls me. He goes, oh, my God, this guy's great. He reminds me of my brother. Yeah, I'm fucking hiring him. How many days you get on that movie?
I'm like seven.
What was the name of that movie?
The movie was Deported.
Whatever happened?
The movie was on Netflix for a while, then they took it out.
Why? Because it was that bad?
Because they're not paying. I don't know what happened. It was probably that bad. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I twisted my ankle at the last scene, bro. Really fucking bad.
It was me, you, Paul Rodriguez, me, you Nick,
and Paul Rodriguez, Rick, Talia Shire was in it, but she was in our scenes. There's a lot of motherfuckers, bro, in that movie.
Oh my God!
And it was in the fucking in the mountain by Magic Mountain, in Valencia, and it was cold. As a motherfucker.
It was cloudy and rainy. Remember they sent us home one day because of the rain?
And then Joe Diaz, he shaved his mustache off. And he
didn't. You had a mustache?
Yeah.
You couldn't even see it.
He did a mustache for the scene. So the next day, he shaved his mustache off, and he comes back with no mustache, and they put like a prosthetic mustache on his fucking, on his lip.
That is fucking crazy.
And it paid pretty good, man. We had our own trailers. Yeah, we got pretty high during the sets. Good food.
The director had the worst hairdo.
Oh, yeah.
You ever.
He was
ever.
A typical director, man.
Typical wannabe director. That dude never worked again in his fucking life. That dude will never work again in his life. They'd rather shoot him in the fucking head. Dude, fucking work again. That was horrible. He did something that I was like, this guy. There's these dog movies that keep calling me. The ones I did. But the first four or three were done by this one director who wasn't bad. I liked Mike. That was his name, Mike. But then they got this other guy, and he comes from the editing background. So he shoots everything halfway. So let's say right now we're shooting a scene, right?
Yeah.
So if we're facing this way today, he'll shoot this scene from over here, then he'll cut it. And we won't shoot again until he's facing this way 3 days later. So you live in this scene for a fucking month, which I don't like. So now you have six scenes hanging because he only shoots from one side. Do you follow me?
That's weird. Why would it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's the worst. I told him when I didn't want to do the movie, and that was one of the reasons that fuck that shit. Shoot the fucking movie how it's supposed to be shot, cocksucker. Shoot it and let's move on with our fucking lives. I don't want to keep shooting this fucking scene over and over again. That's not my fucking bag. You know what I'm saying?
I remember Joe Diaz told that director that movie The Deported after over and over of him, like, I think they want him to go back. Like, he got punched. And then they said he shot it. And he goes, all right, man. It's fine, man. We did it okay. And then Paul Rodriguez said, yeah, it's fine. We did it okay. And because he wanted to shoot it over and over, then Joe Diaz started directing his own scene. Nah, we're good. We're good, man.
Fuck yeah. I can't stand when people overshoot anything.
It was a little big deal. It was a small scene.
It burns me up. It burns me. I did a commercial for GoDaddy that almost knocked everybody out in the fucking commercial. Because I think that they were trying to piss me off. Like they were trying to shoot kill time, so they kept making me do the scene over. Like 50 times.
The flower on the face?
Something. Yeah, something. Remember you were asking me, did I know you then when I shot that
commercial? I think so.
It's just...
Yeah, that was like a year ago.
Let me give us some fucking sponsors here. Let's get the fuck out of here. As usual, my main men, the people who put me together, they keep me together. Whether it's Alpha Brain, whether it's the hemp protein powder, whether it's the Shroom Tech, which I took two today and I went to jiu-jitsu. I came home, then I went and worked out at John Evans' house. On it. on it will fucking take you to that next fucking level. I mean, that's what it does. It's to get the best out of you, whether it's the kettlebells or the fucking flying balls. What they're trying to do is make you strong in more area than others or in every area. What the fuck am I saying? This weed is affecting me. But Alpha Brain, it works for me, man. It works for me when I'm writing. It works for me when I'm on stage. I like to take two of them. I only do it every, like, I do it in a 30-day cycle because when I do it too much, then I got nowhere to go, if you know what I mean. It wears off or something like that. Listen, make it work for you. You got a money-back guarantee. Free. We don't even want the tablets back. Go to onnit.com. See what they got. See what they got on the page. They have something that'll suit your needs, whether it's the enzymes, whether it's a Stay On It program. Just give it a shot. Go to onnit.com and press in.
Church.
Into the box to get 10% off. And after that, they'll send you emails with special deals. Like they said, they also have the Stay On It program where they'll send them automatically to you on the first of the month. No vitamin company is doing that for you. Number two, Dollar Shave Club, who I love and admire. I was looking at how many fucking packages of razors I have today. It's amazing. I've been with Dollar Shave Club for this long, and they're tremendous. You either got a dollar, $6, or $9. You can't fucking beat that. And here, beat this. You don't have to go to a store and wait online and fucking hang out with a bunch of zombos and, you know, pay too much for fucking. That's what it's all about. They save you money and time. It gets shipped right to your house the beginning of the month. No questions asked. You get four fucking razors, double edge with the aloe strip. Go to Dollar Shave Club right now and press in.
Church.
Up, boom.
Bang.
Get that sent right to your fucking house. Get the deal of a lifetime, all right? And to my main men, I love these people with all my heart. The product is fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous how good it is. Hit e-cigs. Tremendous. Longer lasting, better flavor. Put it up against anybody who's out there in the market. They'll blow your fucking wigs off. You understand me? The beautiful thing is about them, the new year is coming. You want to quit smoking? Joey, how the fuck do I quit smoking? Do I take a pill? Do I fucking smack everybody? Do I call everybody a motherfucker? Fuck no. Hit e-cigs not only has that, but they have a program. 24, 16, 8 milligram, and zero. You fucking decrease it at your own pace, man. It's a beautiful fucking product. Go to hittysigs.com right now. Press in.
Joey's Church.
Oh, shit. And what do they get?
20% off.
Not 10% off, not 15. 20% off. You understand me? Longer lasting, better tasting. The cigar, you can blow smoke in people's faces. Nobody get pissed off at you, right? Hittysigs.
They might get pissed off.
What the fuck are you
doing? What's up, fool? Can I mention my podcast?
You can do whatever the fuck you. We ain't going nowhere.
What's up, fool? Felipe Esparza, man. Check out my podcast on SoundCloud, everywhere. What's up, fool podcast?
How many weeks are you working a week now, a year on the road?
On the road, probably like three times, two weeks on a month, yeah.
Is that good for you, 2 weeks, a month?
Yeah.
That's good. You can't do three like me. I can't. I get burnt.
They never gave me three. Well, every once in a while, I got to do three, but not all the time.
You're a bad motherfucker. You're not going to acting class. You getting much calls for movies lately?
Yeah, man. I booked two commercials. I booked a movie with some dude, you know, some movie.
But the financing didn't go through.
He's getting sued, so we'll see what happens. I shot a Eric Andre show. It'll be out in December.
Eric Andre?
The Eric Andre show.
Okay, what channel's
that? On the Adult Swim, he's with Hannibal Buress.
Okay.
Yes, it's a little show.
Okay.
12-minute show.
You're a bad motherfucker, Felipe. You got it going on.
I did a stand-up comedy show in Spanish with Estrella TV, the same channel we did with Platanito.
Come on.
They booked me for 5 minutes, bro. The money was all right.
No, you got to do what you got to do.
I do, bro. And then tomorrow I'm hosting ¿Quién tiene talento? It's like, who has talent?
In Spanish,
you know, I'm gonna be there for booking two shows, doing two shows,
working. You don't give a fuck.
Working 8 hours. You know, I do Spanish. You know, they pay just as well as English. You know, and I did my whole set in Spanish. You know, and I worked it out and over in my head. I translated my jokes on Google. I just typed up my jokes, translate to Spanish, and I did it, bro.
How's the timing when you translate?
Oh, I gotta talk slower, man. I gotta talk really slow. Like I said in Spanish, I met this girl last night. She said, I'll sleep over your house, but can't have no sex. Anoche conocí una chica. Me dijo, duermo contigo, pero no somos el sexo. So, you know, same thing.
Okay. Now you say I fucked her in the eyeball, and she made me green chili burritos for the fucking, you know what I'm saying? You better make me some fucking
Se lo metí por el pinche ojo porque no
you
me
understand
hecho
how much I
chile relleno. You know, I used to always hike this fool up, man. Like, at Wild Coyotes, man, I'm going to be over there. Have my green burrito ready. And it was there. Good
always,
at burrito.
Always. That's my world, dog. A green chili burrito or a little rice and some beans to cut it. You can't get that nowhere. You know how you sleep after one of those?
How?
You pass
like
out,
a
bro.
Fucking mummy, dog. Your body can't handle it. It goes into protein and psychological shock and abuse, cocksucker.
You sleep, bro, like Palmer Newman and Cool Hand Luke, bro.
That's right.
No man. More, boss.
What do you got this week, dog?
This week, bro, I'm doing a live podcast October 30 at the Nerd Melt with Bill Murray and Al Madrigal with the All Things Comedy Network.
Okay.
I'll be there October 30 at Nerd Melt. And I'm taping a couple of podcasts for my podcast. I'm doing Emilio Rivera and Josh Nasher. Last week we had MMA fighter Mariano Mendoza. He's a big motherfucker, bro. He's considered the Mexican Debo. Pretty much most of my guests on my podcast are people I run into. You know, like, if I see somebody, all right, this motherfucker used to be a pimp. Want to be my podcast big time? He goes, all right, big time, so.
Or whatever. Where did you see Emilio at?
I haven't seen Emilio. I emailed him on Twitter, and he said, yeah, bro, I'll do it.
He's a great guy.
And I had Armando Cosillo and Pops, bro.
How cool is Pops?
Oh, man, Pops. Let me tell you what, man. You know who Pops is?
No.
He gave him a guest set in Bray. He didn't come
on. Oh, okay.
The little handicapped kid.
Pops is the dude that, when he was 9 years old, he was on his way to a Little League game, and he got hit by a drunk driver, and he flew off with a motorcycle. So he talks weird now, but he recovered. You know, his speech is better. He does stand-up comedy. He's a fucking freak, you know?
Somebody told me they took him to Mexico, and they got him a hooker, and Pops fucking just went
no,
nuts.
No, man.
He walks with a limp, the whole fucking thing, Lee.
So Armando, so this guy talks like this. Hey, bro, let me tell you, bro. He has a little arm like a waiter. So this fool, man, on the show, Armando talks about, because Pops go to a strip bar and they keep his phone. He has to go to the bank and come back and get lap dance money. So the fucking stripper called his house. I better have my money. So I better have my money. So Armando, you know, he told his wife, listen, I don't know how I know this, but what probably happened was, he was getting a lap dance, two songs turned into six. He don't have enough money. They're holding his phone, and he's going to the ATM, and he's going to come back and pay these strippers, get his phone back. Everything's going to be all right. How Mondo did not know this was going to happen, but that's what really happened. And this is a guy, man, who's living in a pension, bro. So I have them on my podcast, Pops, Armando Cosillo.
I like Pops.
Freaks. Pops, you know, he's ready to do a gig. He's ready to do anything, bro. He's ready to do a guest spot. He's ready to hold a wire, bro, whatever you need.
He had me really high, and I was in the green room, and this guy walked in, and I'd never seen him before. But
hey, bro.
Yeah, but from the green room, it sounded like he was doing well.
Yeah, he's doing good, bro.
He had me really fucking high, and this guy
tell you,
walked
man,
in.
He's a soldier, bro.
He's
like,
a soldier. He's
like
a
one time,
man.
Bro, I had nobody to take me to San Diego to do that fucking shitty-ass gig over there with that guy Dustin Knapp, I think it was. I had nobody, bro. This motherfucker drove me, okay? And his car is built for a handicapped person. Like the steering wheel, like the acceleration on the truck, it's on the steering wheel. So to accelerate, he just holds it down with his palm. And the brakes are over here or on his foot, but the accelerator is on he can't switch from both feet, so... The accelerator is on the steering wheel and the brakes is on the steering wheel. So it's built, and the fucking steering wheel has a handle like a bus driver, like a fucking doorknob. For reals, the fucking steering wheel is built like a doorknob, right, dog? So this motherfucker drove me like that, like a soldier, bro, to San Diego, bro. Bought him tacos, got him a fucking lap dance, paid him $60. Give him gas.
He always calls me to wish me a good luck on the way. Uncle Joey, I want to wish you good luck. You want to guess it? I'll be there. All right, bye.
And we're talking about that on the show.
That's how he does
and
it.
I said, Pop don't ask for
nah, he always he wishes you good luck. I don't need no luck.
Yeah, right, Pops, Pop Armando Cosillo Jr., he don't ask for guest spots. He just sees that, oh, Pop, Joe Diaz live
all
podcast.
All he needs to see is a fucking thing. And
Joe Diaz live podcast, like.
It's amazing. He will show up like a fucking... Thank you for coming on tonight, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
How you doing, Lee? All right?
I'm okay.
You're right. See, you ain't... I took it to the deepest waters and you made it.
I mean,
you gotta see Lee when he eats it up. He looks up.
It tastes so bad.
It tastes fucking delicious. It's a new chef.
Yeah, man. Said
every day it's a new chef.
I want to thank Onnit. I want to thank Dollar Shave Club and Hit E-Cigs for helping us out and sponsoring us. Hit it, Lee.
Hit it, Lee.
Okay.
Hit it, Lee.
Where are you gonna be? Are you gonna be anywhere?
I'm gonna be in San Francisco next week, Helium Portland the week after, and Helium Philadelphia. Get your fucking tickets. Go to joeydiaz.net and see what's crack-a-lackin', bitches.
I'll be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton next week.
Awesome. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for dollarshaveclub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/church or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. The show is also sponsored by Onnit.com. Use code word church to get 10% off of your order, and go to hitesigs.com and use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off of your order. They have e-cigars, e-cigarettes. The proof is in the vape, and it's better tasting, longer lasting.
On my jam.
Is this page of me at 5:46 in the morning? Crack of dawning, now I'm yawning. Wipe the cold out my eye. See who's this page of me and why? It's my nigga Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the intricate plot. A niggas wanna stick me like flypaper, neighbor. Slow down, love, please chill, drop the paper. Remember them niggas from the hill up in Brownville that you rode dice with? Smoking hunts and got nice with? Yeah, my nigga Fame up in Prospect. Nah, them my niggas, nah, love wouldn't disrespect. I didn't say them, they schooled me to some niggas that you knew from back when you was clocking minor figures. Now they heard you blowing up like nitro, and they wanna stick the knife through your windpipe slow. So, thank Fame for warning me, cause now I'm warning you. I got the Mac, nigga, tell me what you gonna do. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn. Niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. They heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus with the Texas lights and plates out of state. They heard about the pounds you got down in Georgetown, and they heard you got half Virginia locked down. They even heard about the crib you bought your mom down in Florida, the fifth corridor. Called the coroner. It's gonna be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts ringing. What you think all the guns is for? All-purpose war, got the Rockwellers by the door. And I feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals trying to drop my decimals. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my cream, and it ain't a dream, things ain't always what it seems. It's the ones that smoke blunts with ya, see your picture. Now they wanna grab their guns and come and get ya. Bet your Biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talons loaded in the clip, so I can rip through the ligaments. Put the fuckers in the bad predicament where all the foul niggas went. Touch my Chetta, feel my Beretta. Fuck what I'ma hit you with, your motherfuckers better duck. I bring pain, blood stains on what remains of his jacket. He had a gun, he should've packed it, cocked it. Extra clips in my pocket so I can reload and explode on your asshole. I fuck around and get hardcore. C4 to your door, no beef, no more, nigga. Feel the rough, scandalous. The more weed smoke I puff, the more dangerous. I don't give a fuck about you or your weak crew. What you gonna do when Big Papa come for you? I'm not running, nigga, I bust my gun in. Hold on, I hear somebody coming.
Come in fast again. Just put your motherfucking ass on. Come on. You're getting close. Huh?
It's right over here.
You sure it's Biggie Smalls' crib, man?
I'm sure, motherfucker. Come on.
Oh, fuck. You better be his motherfucking house. Fuck, man. Yeah. gonna beat this motherfucker's ass.
Oh shit.
What? What's wrong?
It's that red dot on your head, man.
What red dot? Oh shit. You got a red dot on your head too. Oh shit.